Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dispatching four reporters as we speak right now on a nonstop flight from Austin, Texas to Marietta, California, where the federal government has openly announced they're dispatching riot police to go after the terrorist, aka the American people, that would dare stand there as Homeland Security. As I've always said, designed to implode our sovereignty, buses the illegals in, and then signs them up for welfare. CNN is saying it is racist to say the word illegal. Really, if I try to move to Brazil or Nigeria or Japan, they call me an illegal. What's the point of even having a country and paying taxes if anyone that wants to come here can and is instantly legalized? But the establishment, just in plain view, acts like anyone who isn't brain dead, is an extremist, is out of control. The truth is there's a large subsection of the Hispanic immigrants, that's the majority, out of Latin America, over 80% coming to this country, who were hardcore anti-white, anti-black racist. Now, that's just on record. There's also a large subsection, a large minority of whites and blacks that do not like Hispanics. This is just tribalism. In poor black neighborhoods all over the country, blacks' population is not going up. It's staying the same because more than half the blacks get aborted. They're being pushed out by Hispanic immigrants. So that's where the real clash at a sociological level is going on. When we're talking facts here. My issue with the giant flood of immigrants is not what color their skin is. If we had a giant third world country of black people or white people to our south who called themselves the race and who hated everyone else who was not in the Raza and who literally, and again, I have this clip. I asked you guys a few weeks ago. We can't find it here. Call Steve Mason. Bound knows him well, works with him. I've known him for 15 years, 16 years. That's not true. 19 years. He has all the clips. He need to get him down here right now because he has the Texas Frontline show with the former mayor on his last day in office. Because what's old is new, folks. This is bombshell stuff. Saying that Hispanics are not the master race, are the God race descended from aliens, Gus Garcia. And he said if they didn't legalize all the illegals, he was going to move to Mexico. And last time I heard, I think he did. Now, most people saying all Europeans need to leave and whites are the devil, they're actually trying to move wherever European civilization is at. So, I mean, I'm just telling the truth here about all this, ladies and gentlemen. The only kosher group to act like flaming, out-of-control racist is Hispanics. And most Hispanics are not like that and are wonderful people. But there's a large minority that's bullying everyone. Any Hispanic you talk to, American will tell you this, that you better join the Raza. Kind of like the Klan would bully whites to join the Klan or at least give it tacit approval. And that's all it is. And we have clips of this. Viva la Raza! Go back to Europe! Whites and Mayatas! Crackers and Mayatas! You know, these are the clips that we have. I've done a lot of reports, but we got so many reports, I can't even keep track of it all. So Steve Mason needs to be down here 2 weeks ago because he has every clip under the known sun and moon, and he's waiting to bring it all. I mean, the most hardcore stuff. He's got more than Glenn Spencer's got, you know, playing it over the phone line. But we have new clips. It's all coming up. And I'm going to go call him during the break. I'm not mad. Some stuff falls to the cracks. We're going to call him. It's going to happen. And you're going to hear the former mayor of Austin a few years ago.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Thank you for joining us on this seventh day of July 2014. We are live. I am your host, Alex Jones. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours. We have the best-selling author, James Rickards. He is the best-selling author of Currency Wars. He has a new book out, The Death of Money, The Coming Collapse of the International Monetary System. I couldn't think of a better time to get him on. I've been trying for months. Because right now you're seeing an accelerated move towards the exits all over the world away from the dollar. And I want to explain what that will do as the planet exits the dollar. He also was a witness, as was Max Kaiser, but even more of a witness. Kaiser witnessed it in a sub company and saw the CIA connected companies insider trading the day before and the day of 9/11. And that even came out in German and British papers. Rickards actually saw it happen with the very people doing it. And the information he has that he's willing to disclose here, that he's never disclosed all of it, is the kind of stuff gets you killed. And you know, I say that about guests sometimes, they end up dead. Like the DC Madam and others. I mean, I know what will get you killed. This is bombshell Pulitzer Prize top stuff you're going to be hearing. And I've got gigantic huevos to even bring you this information. And it's beyond that, ladies and gentlemen. I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Because I'm committed to fighting this tyranny because I realize there's no way out but resisting it. Again, I want to thank you all for joining us on this live Monday edition. If the establishment is able to dissolve our border and get away with the detonation phase that they're carrying out right now, just letting the world know if you can get here, you're going to be put on welfare and given a voter ID card and driver's license and will be a protected political class above the law. If the current detonation phase is successful, if they're able to ignite this warehouse of dynamite, all the fireworks you're seeing right now is the fuse burning. If it ignites, the tens of thousands every few days that are pouring in across the country, conservatively, according to the Border Patrol, and being instantly legalized with whatever fake IDs they've got, that's their new identity. It will be a permanent political underclass that can be used and abused and used as a political scapegoat to bring in a total police state. There are so many angles to this, it makes the head spin. If they're able to detonate, like the primer in the back of a 30-06 or 308 cartridge, if the hammer that's dropping right now hits the pin and drives it into that primer, and if it detonates properly and ignites the powder in that shell casing, it will fire a high-velocity rifle round right through the heart at point-blank range of the sovereignty that's left of this ragtag collapsing country. And quite frankly, Obamacare was a 308 shot right to the head. Shutting off the power plants, 308 shot right to the head. It's kind of like Sonny and the Godfather, where they fill him full of 100 holes. That's pretty much what this is. I mean, they've just got us up against a wall, just firing right into the country. And the country's bleeding out in front of everybody right now. Making our military serve on average 7 combat tours. Making men with their feet blown off put prosthesis on and order them back into combat, that's like driving 1,000,000 miles on a pair of tires, knowing they're going to blow up. They have defecated all over our military. They have defecated all over the dollar. The globalists are literally waging total war at the siege economic cultural level. I mean, my God, folks, they teach kids 2 + 2 = 5. They go on MSNBC and say, your kids don't belong to you. CNN has come out, and I have the article right here. The I word is un-American and equivalent to the N word. This is the total hospitality and the cult-like political correctness that the system thinks the public is under, that we can be lectured by an army of Rachel Maddow clones like Sally Cohn to do what no country has ever done before. Not just open your borders. They pay you when you get here. This is national suicide with a bunch of arrogant gang member, mafia manager level Hispanics who feed. I mean, repeatedly, they've caught city council and other people's brothers in Austin, where I live, running literal basements full of slaves. Look it up. It's been in the news. Hispanics that they are just sucking money out of their families once they get them up here as illegals, beating them with baseball bats and stuff if they don't pay them more money. I mean, the truth is there's a big gangster El Jefe culture that fits in with the globalist banksters that has been abusing Mexico for 100 years. And so the United States and the average dumb white person who can't find their butt with both hands and who's totally guilty and hates the fact that they're white has no idea what's going on, is being blamed for all the stuff going on in Latin America. And there's a lot of reasons it's so hellish down there when it could be a paradise. But one of the biggest issues is the big mega banks have been down there, and the gunboat diplomacy and the rest of it, keeping a corrupt kleptocracy in charge of all those countries so they were more easily manageable. Nicaragua, El Salvador, Guatemala, Mexico. Not the American people, but the globalist technocrats that are dominating the whole world have been doing to Mexico what they're now getting ready to do to us. So understand, it's not just sitting here saying, oh, Mexico's a bunch of idiots. Oh, Mexico's failed. Oh, Mexico's bankrupt. Oh, my God, how embarrassing it is. You know, if you're from Mexico, we're going to go that same path, folks. Argentina was the richest country in the Western Hemisphere, more than the United States until about 1920. Look it up. Now they're one of the poorest because they went under a political system of fraud and they went the same direction we're going. And the globalists are on record wanting a giant poor underclass. Look, the poor Hispanic underclass pouring in is not going to get free welfare and goodies forever. They're going to be a permanent poor class that is basically kicked around and used and controlled. And that's what the Robert Rodriguez's and the Gus Garcia's, I'm talking about people I know in Austin, Texas, that's who these people are. Big, rich, off the system, fat establishment folks that literally manage the Hispanic market. And they give you a Mexican flag, and they give you some machismo, and they give you some flash with bravada. But at the end of the day, it's all a Ford Foundation declassified CIA program from 1958. I made a film, Battle for the Republic, breaking it down. It's an extra on Endgame, all on record. And I can have sociologist, anthropologist on like Hamamoto, who is from the Rockefeller Ford Foundation system. He will tell you that. This is not my opinion. It is a fact that they want divide and conquer. It is a fact, as I told you, they get rid of national borders but create super borders and then sub-ethnic states within the old super region, within the old national region. This is about the end of the middle class, the end of a ladder up, the end of prosperity. And again, it is totally illegal on record to bring illegals in, put them on welfare, give them IDs, let them vote. And then if you catch a citizen handing out fake IDs, it's serious federal prison time because the feds want the monopoly on handing all of this out. And Daniel Estulin, who's Spanish and lived all over the world, 8 years ago in Endgame, breaks it all down from his Bilderberg contacts, saying the plan is to bring the illegals in and break the country up because he has the Bilderberg contact. But we're way past that now. General Petraeus, Nancy Pelosi, all of them admit this is a plan for a North American union where there's a giant underclass fighting with each other over diminishing resources, with the energy prices going up, to implode everything and to use the giant black market Hispanic class as a black market for the elite in the Democratic Party, like they used Akron as a money laundering operation and a child sex trade operation. I mean, you could walk into Akron and say, I have children for the sex slave trade from Mexico. We're here to run them through your operation. And they're like, hell yeah, let's run a black op. I mean, what do you think these people are? Hardcore mafia, ladies and gentlemen. They run criminal operations in the cities. They are exporting the worst of Latin American corruption to take over and to be the functionaries. In the 40s, they brought 36,000, 35,000 Nazis over here to run everything. Now Hamamoto says, and he's worked for the system, that they're bringing in corrupt people from Latin America to man the system. So it won't be Nazis with rocket bases and nuclear weapons. It'll just be just collapse. I mean, this is transplanting Latin American corruption to bring the country down. Alex Jones here back live. So the new talking point being put out by state-run media and the White House is, be loving. Latin America's a hellish place. And you need to be sweet to all these people that are there. Let them in. Give them driver's license. Let them vote. They're such good people. But we have a clip that Rob Dew found that we're going to play on the show of Governor Brown, back when he was governor the first time. He didn't want Vietnamese immigrants there coming out of Vietnam for political persecution. And why? Because 90%+ of them vote conservative because they've been under the communist boot. Don't want Vietnamese. Because they look at the demographics. They want Latin Americans who've been taught for 60-something years communism and being anti-American is how you fix things. Every time they have a revolution down there to get out from under some fascist right-wing pig who isn't even right-wing, they just call themselves that, some general or some dictator, it's always communism is the answer. So the globalists love that if you read Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, that was an elite State Department CIA primer that wasn't meant to be republished, that we sell, by the way. 1,100 pages. I've read almost the whole thing. I skipped some parts of it. And he explains, we want fascism, we want communism, we want race-based regimes, religious-based regimes. We do not want stable, truly liberal regimes. So to control that, we've got to pose as liberals and take over the liberal movement. And what do they do all over the Middle East and Africa? You got a stable, secular government? We're going to blow your government up and hire your neighbors to invade or hire Muslims to attack. Look at what they're doing in the Middle East right now, causing a sectarian Shiite-Sunni war. The Al-Qaeda-run ISIS forces are blowing up mosques all over Iraq to get the Shiites in a civil war. They're doing it under orders. If they wanted to win, they would be nice to the Shiites. They're not even Sunnis, ladies and gentlemen. They are globalist run to cause the clash of civilizations, just like the open borders are. I'm not anti-Muslim. I'm anti-globalist, radicalizing them and using Saudi Arabian radicals to destabilize the world. And I'm not against the poor Latin Americans. I look at Latin American children, and I have as much care for them as black children or white children. I try to stop them being aborted. Ask Robert Rodriguez why he doesn't protest Hispanics being aborted if he's such a man of the raza. Or why all these Democratic Party groups want to push Gardasil on Hispanic children. Mark my words, you take that shot, you're not going to have kids. And I said that 10 years ago during the trials, and now it's confirmed it attacks your ovaries. That's because I hate Hispanics, obviously. I don't want them being aborted. See how crazy that is? But what I don't like is a giant army of racist Hispanics being brought up here, literally who don't have third grade educations, with tuberculosis and scabies and cholera. I mean, that's what's coming in, folks. I won't go to Latin America. My mother begs my dad to not go down there on aid missions to some of the worst places in South America because of all the shots and stuff he's got to take that make him sick. I mean, I won't go report from South America because it's that scary, unless you go stay in a five-star hotel and don't leave or stay on the resort. And I don't want to do that. You know how scary Latin America is? You know how scary Africa is? There's a phenomenon of racist American blacks, you know, the type that buy into Al Sharpton and the rest of it, because I've talked to some black professors on and off record, of when they go to Africa, it changes their views real fast. Again, ladies and gentlemen, and the globalists want to collapse North America. They only want civilization in Luxembourg, Switzerland, London, and a few other areas. There it is, Mexico to give HPV vaccine to all girls in 2012. And they lie and say it's the law, just like here it's not the law. The president just ordered it, like he's a dictator. This is incredible. Makes me sick. We should be trying to get Mexico free. We should be trying to kick out the elites down there. But no, instead the big banks work with them. Let's go to the clip of the, I mean, when you go to Southern California, we've got the videos, you name it, of images of white people's heads cut off, and we're going to kill you, go back to Europe, all the rest of it. And we're going to put together a video showing all this from the past. It's in my film, Battle for the Republic. We should re-air that tonight on the nightly news after the news ends. But let's go to this clip when we come back from break. Calling for the Raza. Race. Imagine whites or blacks if they went out to events and said, Race, we are the race. And what is the La Raza slogan? For those inside the race, everything. For those outside the race, nothing. That's official. You'll never hear that on CNN because they want to use race to create balkanization and division.
From the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Search the term Latin American slums or Mexican slums. 35 million people in Mexico City, about a third of them living in giant open sewers built out of cardboard boxes. I don't blame them wanting to come up here. The problem is putting them on welfare in places like California that's already bankrupt many times over is only going to sink this country down the tubes. If we had a chance to put a libertarian free market government in Mexico, I would donate time and money to try to help Mexico. I want to build up Africa. That's why I got so upset about the murder of Muammar Gaddafi, because you can say whatever you wanted about him. I've interviewed the journalists, you name it, that have been there all over Africa. He was building up all of Africa. He was taking the oil money of Libya. And he was living almost in a shack himself behind a big wall. I'm not lionizing him. It's just, it's true. And he was building up Africa and putting in water wells and roads and oil wells and building an African union for Africans. And they told him, oh, be buddies with the West, brought him in for 8 years, set him up and killed him. And now it's admitted in the Christian Science Monitor and other publications, major studies, that Libya is 10 plus times worse. In fact, they even quoted it astronomically bad. It is now road warrior, where it was big hotels and giant roads and airports. The globalists do not have anybody's interest at heart. I wish that that I could visit Africa and not be hated in almost every African country as a white man. They just banned in African countries under Mugabe. They just banned whites, period, owning property. again, a race-based system, because when you get dumbed down, ignorant masses, whether it's in the poor South, people living in shacks, they become members of the Klan because it's all they've got. Or poor people in Southern California who are Hispanic, they become members of La Raza and Mecha. The difference is you don't go to college or you don't get accepted in those communities unless you join it. And it wasn't as radical in the 60s. It's designed by the Pentagon, by the globalist. Look this up. And they have hundreds of TV and radio stations called the Raza or called La Reconquista. Look it up. It means the invasion or the reconquering. And what are you conquering? What, with slums? With drug lords? With sewage running down the streets? I mean, I wouldn't mind being conquered by Switzerland right now. I wouldn't mind being conquered by Luxembourg. I wouldn't mind being conquered by the Ritz-Carlton. I mean, you know, if they were pro-gun, pro-family. I've been conquered by the eugenicist New World Order, and so have you. But waking up to the fact we've been conquered is the beginning of the end of this. And so they want to make sure that Hispanics don't learn English. They want to make the main language Spanish now. First, it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago in Texas and California and Colorado and Arizona and Nevada. Oh, let's just make it bilingual. And then it's, you know what? We're just not going to teach English. And you know what? If you don't speak perfect Spanish, forget working at this car dealership or at this restaurant or at this hotel. And then the Hispanics don't learn the global language, the imperial language of the British Empire that's spoken in every country by the ruling elite. Is English. You want to advance? Speak English. You want to be successful? Speak English. Is it good to know how to speak German or Chinese or Spanish or Portuguese? Absolutely. Is it good to know how to speak Bedouin or Arabic? I would imagine so. But you got to have one language, English, one language. They don't want you knowing the number one thing they want to work for a multinational corporation or to work in communications or to work across the board is English, 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 English. Hey, Robert Rodriguez knows how to speak English. He got raised by an affluent white family, a well-known architect. Yes, Robert, I know all about you. And not only that we're a listener and your wife's a listener, but that you've joined a radical race cult and that you hate my guts. And I know all about everything else too, Robert. And I just hope you can hold on to your sanity, bud, because you've gone crazy. Now, continuing here, ladies and gentlemen, with all the things that are going, when he hosts Obama this week to hike their leg on Texas and freedom and promote the La Reconquista. This is the reality of what's unfolding in this society. And there is a rebranding where Americans are told, you don't have a culture. It's not freedom. It's not guns. It's not John Wayne. That was Manifest Destiny. It certainly wasn't perfect. No, it is gangster drug cartel, the skinny one, Grim Reaper. How do you say that in Spanish? There's the female skinny one and the male skinny one. And then the big drug cartels either join the male Grim Reaper or the female Grim Reaper. I forget how you pronounce it.
Delgado is skinny.
No. I'm not talking about the Day of the Dead. That's another thing, honoring your ancestors. I'm talking about the sociology research I was doing. And we had a professor on who's written a book about it, and it's the death cult of Mexico. And they worship the Grim Reaper. You see it on the cars everywhere. The point here, and they worship the drug cartel leaders. I mean, this is the worship of thugs, the worship of a chief. The worship of El Jefe. This is the worship of warlords. This is like a Somali-style government. You wonder why Mexico can't field an Olympic team? You wonder why Mexico acts like the Horn of Africa? Acts like Somalia? Because that's what it is now. It's gone from colonialism that was bad enough out of Aztec slavery into colonialism. And then into El Jefeism, and then now we're under El Jefeism with Obama, the big chief.
It's Santa Muerte.
Santa Muerte, that's right. That's the female one. So this is what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. And when you get a total culture of death, it's over for your society. It's very scary. Let me read the headlines at drudgereport.com. And we also have some of these up on Infowars.com. Border breakdown. Deportations of dreamers drops. It was already almost nothing if you can get here and you're a teenager. Now it's ending. And he has big events and big award ceremonies to honor the illegals. Again, to get more of them up here, feds to bring in riot squad against protesters. That's right. And in Dallas, they're announcing in Grand Prairie, don't come out and protest against it. They want to store them. All the major Dallas cities are advertising, come here. We want you. Clash in California, Villa La Raza. We're going to play that clip in a moment. Border Protection Chief. These are not dangerous individuals. No, they're all angels. Perry, Obama either inept or doesn't care. No, he cares. He's doing this on purpose. Some on right push to impeach. Wire, backlash stirs against foreign worker visas. Activist distributes flashlights to crossers. Agent contracts scabies. That's flesh-burrowing mites. 40 infected immigrants. And it just goes on and on and on and on. They're being released into the population with any disease you can imagine, from tuberculosis to you name it. You wonder why we have all these drug immune diseases now? Militia group heading to the border. 500 released at bus station every day in Texas alone, according to Democratic congressman. That's a total whitewash. Marietta mayor. Feds never contacted us about dumping. We'll just send them to Grand Prairie or Dallas or Fort Worth. They've said bring unlimited. And if a citizen slave dare sticks their head up, riot police are standing by, scum. Border Patrol officials under gag order. You know, we broke that weeks ago. Now it's mainstream news. War zone. 11 killed, 60 wounded in Chicagoland over the holiday weekend alone. But you never hear about that in the national news, where they have a total gun ban under the absolute mob boss. The former White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, whose brother helped write the Obamacare and admitted on Fox News 6 months ago, the plan is to bankrupt health care with Obamacare. The plan is to bankrupt healthcare. The plan is to bankrupt the border states. The plan is to bankrupt the power plants. And then that means you. I can't tell you how many yuppies have sent me emails or on the street said, I don't care if they shut down power plants. I don't own one. Idiots. That's where you get the cheap power. Idiots that have electric cars and look down on everybody else that has a gas-powered car. I'm not against your electric car, but it takes in the equations more energy and more greenhouse gas to charge your vehicle than it does to have a gasoline or diesel vehicle. Coal is better than natural gas to burn and cleaner. And I love natural gas. People always accuse me of working for oil companies. I haven't seen one nickel from an oil company. I'll tell you, my family's got some gas wells. And they'd be making a lot more money if people were forced on gas, like a lot of these globalists are pushing, because they own gas as well. So I would make money off gasoline getting shut down. But I don't, ladies and gentlemen, because I want to keep the whole economy going. I don't want to be the only person with money and nobody else has got it. And again, it's not that much money anyways. Hell, all over East Texas and areas, it's like most people have a gas well in their backyard. Not much comes out of them, but we've got a few good-sized ones, but they've got them turned off because gas prices are so low. And again, people don't understand energy. They don't understand anything. They just know it's hype. It's fun to say, I'm part of the Raza. And then CNN has the nerve. Here's the report. Like, we've got the newscast up there as well. Sally Cohn is a progressive activist, read revolutionary overthrow technician, columnist and television commentator. And it goes on. She says that the I word is un-American and equivalent to the N word. Here's the quote from the transcript. Today, most people find the N word and the F word incredibly offensive. Let's hope that most, if not all, people will feel the same way about words illegals and immigrants in the not-too-distant future. These are people lawlessly trying to break our country, lawlessly trying to bankrupt the nation, saying your children belong to the state. And then the White House resident tranny, according to Joan Rivers, I thought she was a snapping turtle myself, the first lady comes out and says, don't use the word bossy. It has an anti-feminine quality, anti-feminist connotation, as if it does, or as if it did. So what? It's your free speech. We need to be brash and use words they don't like on purpose so these authoritarian control freaks who think they sit up there and lecture you and tell you what words you can use. Remember what happened last year when the city of Seattle said, do not bring paper brown bags to work because it's offensive to minorities, because they're brown. And you go, that's crazy. No one's ever used brown bag in a racial connotation. But so what if they did? It just means a cheap paper bag. This is crazy. But then you understand, they know it's crazy. It's meant to say, we define everything. Don't use brown paper bags. Don't use the word bossy. Don't have a Nerf gun in your backyard with your friends. We'll expel you from school, even though there's no authority to do it. It's the raw, naked, crazy exercise of power. To say, we're going to flood the country with 30 million illegals, legalize them, and let them bring their family members in, and if you don't like it and you don't like paying for it, you're a racist. Excuse me? If you don't turn your guns in, you're in the Ku Klux Klan. Excuse me? The NRA was founded by the North at the end by Christians to arm blacks against the Klan. On record, indisputable fact, and you're saying it's the Klan. And of course it's going to stir up a bunch of racist whites as well. Generally low income, who've been competing against immigrant labor, and who've had immigrants do racist things to them. Look, you take the average redneck poor white person, the closest people there to is a redneck Mexican. The Mexicans I know are more redneck than any white person I know. Cowboy trucks, cowboy hats, the exact, even listen to country music, because that's where the cowboy culture came from, was Spain. It came from Mexico, folks. I don't have anything against those people, but they are taking them and branding them and getting Latin American immigrants that are mainly communist and are not really a Spanish culture, which is European. It's not even Mesoamerican. It's just socialist dictatorships for 70, 80 years. And it goes on and on and on, and they just get up here, and it's a total takeover. Let's play the Hispanic Ku Klux Klan, Mecha La Raza, down there bullhorning in Marietta, California, saying, Viva La Raza, up with the race, up with the race of Hispanics. Here it is. Is a race-based group. 100%. And that's nothing. I mean, if people are freaked out by this, I literally have hundreds of clips of all this stuff that we're just going to be airing here on the air and doing special reports on. In fact, get a bunch of them queued up for tomorrow. And if we can, for the nightly news tonight, I want to shoot a special report on this that will also air tomorrow with all the different La Raza clips and, again, and the mayor of Austin saying Hispanics are the superior race. I mean, this is out of control. And they take the most poor, dumbed-down people who have no future and who literally think white people are out to get them and blacks are out to get them. And I don't understand why on Spanish radio it's acceptable, you know, to call black people blackbirds, which is the N-word in Mexico, mayata. And things are so politically correct, I use that term. It's like I was bad using it. No, it's documentary form. I am detailing what's going on here. The truth is, I know what comes around goes around. I want black people super rich and affluent and powerful and successful, because that's who I want to be around. I want Hispanics to be super powerful, affluent, successful, and amazing. If I like your music or I like your culture, I like you. I don't look at what color you are. And quite frankly, There is an attack on white culture because it's seen as Western civilization to override it by the Democratic Party, by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and other groups. And I, quite frankly, am sick of it. I'm sophisticated enough being putting up with racism my whole life from blacks and Hispanics, the minority of those that have bought into this. I'm sophisticated enough to not blame all blacks or Hispanics. But most people aren't as sophisticated as I am. And a lot of whites who weren't racist are so sick of being treated badly when they were bleeding hearts that they're bouncing back the other direction, which is what the globalists want, is to create total balkanization division. We are gang-related. We are race-based. We have to have a Bill of Rights Constitution gang. People aren't gang mentality. Well, how about we join the gang of liberty and freedom and equality? Teach him he can trust me like a brother.
Teach him he can trust me like a brother.
And then one day we're going to saddle up.
One day we'll saddle up and ride.
Then we're going to ride.
And we're going to ride.
We're going to ride.
We're going to ride.
Ride like the one-eyed Jack of Diamonds.
Ride like the one-eyed Jack of Diamonds.
With the devil close behind, we're gonna ride. Now, I know that you reap what you sow in this life and the next, my friends. That's why I only put out what I believe to be the absolute truth on air and what I believe empowers humanity across the board. I don't believe in win-lose situations long-term. I believe in win-win. And the advice I'm giving everyone out there, I don't care what color you claim you are, or what your religion is, or where you came from, anything the globalists are pushing is bad. And everybody already knows that. Of course, Obamacare was a screw job. Of course, the government's publicly funding Al-Qaeda worldwide to engage in killing up to 300,000 Christians in Syria alone. By the way, those Christians are brown, and they're killing white Christians in Ukraine. The globalists don't like Christians. And I don't mean these fake glitter bug Christians at the mega churches up there with their NLP brainwashing, state run. I'm talking about the real Christians. Why is that happening? You think this government cares about you when they would fund Al-Qaeda taking over Iraq, Syria, Libya, and areas of Egypt, crucifying Christians upside down, blowing up their churches? And you think they really care about brown people from Latin America? They're using him as a weapon. You see, because I'm part of the Raza myself, the human race. And I think the Ku Klux Klan, if I've protested more than 15 times, is disgusting, mainly fed-run, just like La Raza and Mecha is fed-run, except they're Fortune 500 sponsored, and their garbage is force-fed on Hispanic youth across this country. It's despicable. You got all the White House funding secretly to Robert Rodriguez. That'll be coming out soon. To produce all these La Raza TV shows. Yeah, state-run media. We've been working on that investigative report for a while. Obama, the Mexican Mafia, and Robert Rodriguez. Remember who got the script for Machete? They said it wasn't the script. Turned out it was a script. Is there nothing America won't put up with, huh? Is there nothing? Briefly, we need your financial support, ladies and gentlemen. And Super Male Vitality is off the chart. It is the best overall male empowering system out there. Everybody that sees me in person goes, my God, you've lost so much weight. Your muscles are much bigger. You have more energy. What it's done to my skin has just been I'm getting the same amount of sun I always got. Now I'm like brown. Love it. And the point is that it's the Super Male Vitality and the X2. And I take it morning, noon, and night, three times a day, in water, sometimes straight, but I found it's better with water. And I drink it down. morning, noon, and night. It is the elixir, and it funds our operation. You've heard the reviews. Just try it. My goodness, at least you're supporting the tip of the spear in the info war. Just take the challenge. Consult a physician beforehand. It is amazing. InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. Go to InfoWarsLife.com or InfoWarsStore.com to see all the videos and scientific breakdowns. InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. Check an hour with a special guest coming up.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have a major whistleblower. They're confirmed, correct? Doubly confirmed. Joining us in about 8 minutes, James Rickards. I'm just going to leave it at that. It deals with global financial collapse, you name it. I haven't even gotten to the news up on InfoWars.com. Video, veteran arrested at gunpoint for legal open carry. And you've got the ding-dong female cop running up with a shotgun in his face like she's found a terrorist. What a moron. Dallas-Fort Worth city plans heavy police presence to discourage border protests. Discourage, because they're going to ship them into Grand Prairie by the tens of thousands. And the cops are telling you, with the mayor, American citizens, you keep your head down and shut up, trash. We got the new political class here. They're going to vote to turn Texas blue and take those guns. Oh, yeah, Dallas is going Democrat, folks. And again, you're like, well, at least, you know, Republicans are bad, too. And in Texas, the Republican platform is pretty darn good, folks. But not for long. They will ban the guns and they will send the armored vehicles. There will be a civil war. And the cops love it, I guess. I know they actually don't love it, but you're going to be where the rubber meets the road, buds. Continuing here, coming soon, TSA mind-reading scanners to catch terrorists. Interesting article by Paul Watson. Hobby Lobby decision creates small island of freedom in ocean of statism. That's on InfoWars.com. What your startlingly intimate voyeuristic NSA file looks like. That's harder than saying he did something with seashells by the seashore. I forget that tongue twister we all did when we were a kid. A top general says Mexican border security now existential threat to U.S. What are the machines thinking? John Rappaport. And this is going to tie into our next guest. I just printed it again, guys. It's on the printer out there. The almighty dollar is in peril as the global de-dollarization trend accelerates. Very important article by Michael Schneider up on InfoWars.com. But I do want to briefly get to this video by Mikhail Phelan up on InfoWars.com on this incredible incident that's only now been released via the trial of what happens when you openly engage in open carry. And you look at the look on this woman's face, this cop. I mean, she sees the enemy, and that is, of course, a citizen. And they will come to known open carry demonstrations, even in San Antonio, and will arrest people till we show up 1,500. And then as soon as our demonstration was over, when there was a few people left, they would arrest them. Even though the state has said the ordinance in San Antonio is illegal, the police chief doesn't care because he knows best, because we can't have people walking around with guns because you want to be the only one with a gun. You want to feel special with a gun on your hip where we can't have guns on our hip. Now, I know most cops, national surveys show over 95%, look it up, and study after study are pro-gun because they get it. But the police chiefs work for the feds by and large. I don't care if it's Austin, Texas, or San Antonio. And they need to be put in their place. This is our country. You're not the only one that gets to have a gun. You understand that? Get that through your head. And they said they were going to arrest us when we came down there to demonstrate, 1,500 of us, with the land commissioner, Jerry Patterson. They didn't do that, did they? No, they didn't. And I didn't read off a teleprompter when I gave my speech. I screamed so loud, I blew my voice out for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I yell so loud, folks, my larynx starts bleeding. That's because I love freedom. First speech since the Alamo fell on the grounds, because it was a feedlot until the 40s. And then the Daughters of the Republic of Texas wouldn't allow any speeches there. But Patterson with the state has been taking it over. I'm not knocking the Daughters. I've had family that's in it. But, you know, let's just say this. We're going to have it. We're going to have it for what it is. It's a Second Amendment pro-liberty shrine. And that's just the way it is. The men are taking it back over. The men that died.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Headline, the almighty dollar is in peril as the global de-dollarization trend accelerates. And joining us is New York Times bestseller James Rickards. The Death of Money is his latest book, The Coming Collapse of the International Monetary System. We're going to spend the first half of the interview talking about where he sees the current system going, but he's also a major whistleblower who witnessed the insider trading leading up to 9/11. And he's going to basically break it all down today, proving complete prior knowledge by trading firms directly connected to the Central Intelligence Agency. And that was in Der Spiegel and a few U.S. papers the week after 9/11, but not the details, not an eyewitness to it. So this is bombshell info coming up here in just a few minutes. Again, his new book, The Death of Money. Now, before we go any further, we're seeing the controlled collapse of our nation. As he said a few weeks ago in England, General Petraeus, former head of the CIA, said, we're getting rid of the U.S., we're bringing in the North American Union. They have to do that. Mexico has opened their southern border to South Americans, Central Americans, to flood. That is only the detonator for the larger explosion for the huge waves that will come after that will dwarf it, and that's already beginning. That's why they announced that they let the kids go free, and now their parents, and now the felons, 36,000 of them, in one release last month. I'm going to say that again. The sheriff of Travis County, where I live in Austin, Texas, where the syndicated broadcast comes to you from, is criticized in the Austin Chronicle this week, saying how dare him deport 13 people a week. By the way, those are aggravated felons. They say Austin's supposed to be a sanctuary city, a, quote, secure community, but he's deporting 13 a week in a city of over 1,200,000 people that has over 5,000 illegals coming here a week. Oh, my gosh. It's just BS and disingenuous, says Amelia Ruiz Fisher of the Texas Civil Rights Project. Basically a La Raza front run by Jim Harrington on Sheriff Hamilton's list is purporting to reflect serious offenses associated with the SCOM detainees, but were arrested for those crimes, not immigration offenses. And they just say he's deporting, but he's bringing them to ICE. ICE is letting them loose. The sheriff, when they arrest illegals and they have felony records, he's deporting them. Oh, my, how mean. And I've talked to Travis County prosecutors who've been in my office off record. And they said, no, the judges just release them for drunk driving, you name it. People are being now released, folks, for aggravated assault with a weapon. The illegals are above the law. And how dare them all not be legalized and given free welfare immediately. How racist. When they're not chanting La Raza, Viva La Mexico, or Viva Honduras or Guatemala, we have the video of the rallies in Austin. Why, they put American flags on their heads. How mean of the black sheriff, the evil racist sheriff. So, I mean, the country's just wide open. And it's lawlessness funding Al-Qaeda to attack every Christian they can in the Middle East. It's lawless to shut down the power plants and Obamacare. It's all totally evil. Look at these headlines, and we're going to our guest. Look at these headlines. What comes after America? After America, there it's North America. Dr. Corsi today has written an article. He's coming on tomorrow, following our lead, on the announcement of the North American Union. Again, we played that a few weeks ago, but now WorldNetDaily has reported on it. Continuing, coming soon, TSA mind-reading scanners to catch terrorists. Paul Joseph Watson. Actually, if you look at CBS News and MSNBC from 2002, they put in five airports passive brain scanners then. Now they're going to roll them out. Brain scanners. Hobby Lobby decision, again, creates small island of freedom and ocean of statism. A good Ron Paul interview. That's just some of the news up on Infowars.com. And I wanted to get into some of the news dealing with the open borders and then right to our guest. But it is confirmed now that Obama is ordering the illegals bust deeper into the country. We broke it in mid-June. It is now confirmed by the New York Times. McClatchy, some on right push to impeach Obama in Congress and at the state level. Absolutely. I mean, a president opening the borders up, 100% impeached, indicted in the House, convicted in the Senate, open and shut. Backlash stirs in U.S. against foreign worker visa acceleration. Because the jobs are being lost, the wages are going down. We don't need more cheap engineers, folks. If we had a need for them, it'd be okay. But it's destroying the way of life. And it just continues on from there. Feds again to bring in riot squads against illegal immigration protesters. No, how dare them go when the DHS buses ship the illegals in to be put on Greyhounds? How dare them be pointing this out 3 weeks after we broke it? How dare this issue be raised? So now riot police are coming. And again, in Grand Prairie, Texas, my old stomping grounds, that's where I'm from, Rockwall in that area, DFW Metroplex, multiple cities are saying, we're going to have riot police out to discourage you demonstrating when we ship tens of thousands in to be housed in Grand Prairie. Look at the mayor. I mean, hey, you better not come out. Cops will be there. I mean, think of that. Think of what America has turned into. We have that clip coming up. It's up on Infowars.com. It's on Channel 11, CBS. Sources, feds are bringing riot squads against illegal immigration protesters in Dallas and in Southern California. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, this government is pure criminal. Where is Rick Perry declaring civil emergency and ordering the Texas Guard out to go down there and to grab those people and to forcibly bus them over to Mexico? And then continue to do it. Because once the border fully implodes, which has now happened, if the next wave makes it, folks, it'll be wide open forever, which is the plan. And then they'll put a police state in with domestic checkpoints for you and me, not the illegals who are above the law. Texas Dem, Obama administration, releasing 500 mothers with children per day. That's a whitewash number in McAllen alone. Yeah, we were down there and broke that. Now that's Mainstream News Daily Caller. Scabies spreads among border detainees. Using the word illegal is the N-word, according to CNN. Viva La Raza, pro-illegal activist chant. Up with the race. Go home to Europe. Immigration rallies clash in California. Go back to Europe. There's the headline, Washington Times. Top general says Mexico border security now existential threat to U.S. That's the head of NORTHCOM saying that. And urges Congress for help. That's a big deal. I should cover that more, but I'll do it the next hour. We're going to keep our guests a little bit with us into the next hour. I really appreciate him coming on with us. This is such a big deal, what you're about to hear in the next hour. The death of money, the coming collapse of the international monetary system. And what's in the news today? There is an acceleration out of the dollar by allies like South Korea, not just China, not just Russia, not just Japan, not just the Middle East. This is a huge deal and being done by design. Because before global governance can come in, the dollar has to finally die. They're going to ride the horse till it dies. But we have a real financial expert with us. The first half of the interview, we're going to skip this network break. This is so important. With James Rickards. Will be on the monetary issues and his new book and his last best-selling book as well, Currency Wars. Then, Then we will get into the insider trading. He witnesses an incredible whistleblower. James Rickards is the author of the national bestseller, Currency Wars, The Making of the Next Global Crisis, that predicted everything that happened in 2008. The Death of Money of the Coming Collapse of the International Monetary System is his latest book. He is a portfolio manager and partner in the Merchant Bank based in New York. He's also a counselor and investment advisor and has held senior positions at Citibank, Long-Term Capital Management, and Caxton Associates in 98. He was the principal negotiator for the rescue of LTCM, sponsored by the Federal Reserve. His clients include institutional investors and government directorates. Mr. Rickards has delivered papers on risk at the Singularity University, Los Alamos National Laboratory, and has written numerous articles on risk management. He is also an advisor on capital markets to the U.S. intelligence community and the Office of the Secretary of Defense. JamesRickardsProject.com is the website. We'll put that up on screen for TV viewers. Thank you for coming on, sir. I really appreciate it. And you've got the floor to break down in layman's terms, but then more technical, what we face, where we are. And then I want to get into the big picture and basically how people can protect themselves. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Alex. Great to be with you. And the new book, The Death of Money, it sounds like a provocative title, but it's actually not meant to be that provocative. The international monetary system has collapsed three times in the past 100 years. It collapsed in 1914, again in 1939, and again in 1971. So these collapses happen every 30 or 40 years, and it's been a little over 40 years since the last one. Now, that doesn't mean it collapses tomorrow like clockwork. It just means that no one should be surprised if it does. And there are plenty of warning signs, official actions pointing very much in this direction. And then, so what I do in the book is I take the reader through the instability of the system. I say, it's not a question of committing errors in the future. The errors have already been committed. The blunders have already been made. It's like snow that's piled up and we're waiting for the avalanche. We're just waiting for that one snowflake to bring it all tumbling down. So that's actually fairly foreseeable. What I try to do is say, okay, when that happens, because it has happened three times before, what comes next? What will the future international monetary system look like? And then go all the way back to square one. What can investors do today to sort of prepare for that? So that's the big picture. You know, my first book, Currency Wars, came out in 2011. And if you open up to chapter 8 of Currency Wars, guess what's there? It talks about Ukraine, Gazprom, Russia, natural gas as a weapon, et cetera. In other words, all the things that are happening today were in my 2011 book. If you want to know what's going to happen two or three years from now, read the new book, because that really is the purpose, is to look over the horizon and see what's coming.
Obviously, everyone should get the
specifically,
book. Everyone should get the book, and it's available. You can link through it, JamesRickardsProject.com or Amazon, you name it. Go ahead.
Now let's get specific with regard to the dollar, Alex. You know, when you write a book and it comes out, hopefully you get a lot of things right, but one of the things you ask yourself is, well, did I get anything wrong? Is there anything I might have missed? And looking at the book, which has only been out for a few months, I would say the one thing is, things that I thought might take a year or two to play out are actually playing out now. Now, is this collapse is happening faster than I thought, even when I wrote the book last year. And just to be specific, imagine a stool with three legs, and resting on the stool is the dollar. And the three legs are Russia, China, and Saudi Arabia, the three props, if you will, under the dollar. Let's take them one at a time. Saudi Arabia, that's basically the story of the petrodollar. You know, in 1974, in the late 70s, the dollar almost collapsed at that time. We had 50% inflation between 1977 and 1981. We had three recessions back to back to back. You know, the price of gold went up 2,000%. It was a complete run on the dollar. Henry Kissinger struck a deal with the Saudi Arabians, with the royal family in Saudi Arabia, to price oil in dollars. Now, there is no reason then or now why oil has to be priced in dollars. At the time, it could have been priced in Deutschmarks or Japanese yen, Swiss francs, or gold. Today, it could be priced in euros, maybe dollars and the other things. But there's no reason oil has to be priced exclusively in dollars. But it was. That put an enormous prop under the dollar, because everyone needs oil. So if oil is priced in dollars and you need oil, that means you need dollars. People who don't have any other reason to want dollars have to have them to buy the oil. So that was a support for the dollar. Now, what was the other side of the deal? The other side of the deal is that we, the United States, would guarantee the national security of Saudi Arabia. We would prop up the House of Saud. Now, that deal lasted until last December. Last December, President Obama stabbed the Saudi Arabians in the back by anointing Iran as the regional hegemonic power in the Middle East. Now, what that means is, you know, U.S. is withdrawing power from around the world. That's very obvious, and the president said so in his speech at West Point. But what he wants to do is sort of leave a cop on the beat. So in every hotspot around the world, there's some power that's going to kind of take care of things in the neighborhood, if you want to think of it that way. Well, the U.S. greenlighted Iran as the cop on the beat in the Middle East. We greenlighted their nuclear ambitions. I know there are these talks underway, but the fact is the centrifuges are still spinning. The Iraq reactor is still operating, and that is only good for one thing, which is it produces plutonium, which is only good for one thing, which is making atomic weapons. And so that's kind of full speed ahead. So the Saudi Arabians took that as a stab in the back, and they should. And by the way, in a recent briefing given by very high level U.S. officials to the King of Saudi Arabia, they went through this long, you know, 45-minute presentation about all the nuance in our policy with Iran and all that. And the King, who I think is 91 or 92 years old, at the end of it, he just grunted and said, "They get one, we get one." Those are his exact words. And what he meant was Iran gets a nuke, Saudi Arabia, they get nukes the next day, they'll just fly them in from Pakistan. So now that we've reneged on our side of the deal, no longer guaranteeing the security of Saudi Arabia, they feel free to renege on their side of the deal, supporting the dollar. So watch for the dollar, sorry, watch for oil to suddenly be priced in euros and other currencies. Now over to China. What's China doing? Well, China kind of painted themselves into a corner. They bought almost $3 trillion worth of U.S. dollar-denominated securities for their reserves. Reserves are just your savings account. So, you know, if you make $50,000 and you spend $40,000, you've got $10,000 in savings. You can put it in the bank or the stock market or whatever. Well, it's no different with countries. When countries run a trade surplus, they have savings and they have to put it somewhere. And in China's case, those savings go into the trillions of dollars. Well, they put all their savings into, unfortunately for them, U.S. Treasury notes. Now, there's an old saying in banking, if I owe you $1 million, I have a problem. But if I owe you $1 billion, you have a problem because you have to collect the money from me. So since we owe China $3 trillion, they have a problem. They can't dump their securities. They might want to, but the market's not that big. So what are they doing instead? They're buying gold by the thousands of tons. And just to put that in perspective, there are only about 33,000 tons of official gold in the world. Official gold means the gold held by central banks and sovereign wealth funds and finance ministries and so forth. So it's only about 33,000 tons in the world. China has bought about 3,000 tons, or 10% of all the official gold in the world, just in the last 4 years. Now, they have not disclosed this, by the way. You have to gather this from mining output, Hong Kong imports, covert sources. They're using military and intelligence assets to do this. But the evidence is there, and this is all in my book as well. So why are they doing that? Well, they're creating a hedge position. In other words, they can't dump the treasuries. But if we inflate the dollar, which we're trying to do, Janet Yellen has said we need more inflation. Inflation is just theft from savers. I mean, inflation sounds like a technical word. Just think of it as someone reaching in your pocket and stealing your money. That's what inflation is. So Janet Yellen says we need more inflation. In other words, we need more theft from savers. Well, China's the biggest saver in the world. They got $3 trillion, as I mentioned. So if we inflate the dollar, they're going to lose on their paper. But if they have enough gold, gold's going to go up a lot. So they're going to lose on the paper, but they're going to make it up on the gold. So that's a way to hedge their position without dumping the treasury securities. That's what the Chinese are doing. Over to Russia, we're in a financial war with Russia. Of course, Russia invaded Crimea. It's causing trouble in eastern Ukraine. No one, left, right, or center, thinks there should be a military response to that, and there's not going to be. But the U.S. doesn't want to be seen to be doing nothing, kind of rolling over, playing dead. So the president has announced economic sanctions, which are a form of financial warfare. By the way, we've been in a financial war with Iran, or had been, from 2012 up until the end of 2013. But the president sort of called a truce in that war and eased up on the sanctions on Iran. That was part of that stab in the back I mentioned earlier. But now we're in a financial war with Russia. By the way, these sanctions are fairly tame. You know, it sort of amounts to the fact that a few oligarchs may not get to go to the Super Bowl next year. But the bottom line on all that is Russia's different from Iran. They can fight back. They can seize U.S. assets in Russia. They can dump U.S. Treasury securities, raise our interest rates, sink our stock market. They can unleash their hackers to shut down the New York Stock Exchange. So the U.S. has to be careful about going too far in that realm because Russia can fight back. So
sure, James,
all three of these legs.
Let me just throw this in. People just joined us. James Rickards is our guest. He's the best-selling author of Currency Wars, if you just tuned in. And he's breaking down what his new book gets into that just came out a few months ago, The Death of Money, The Coming Collapse of the International Monetary System. And I want you to quantify for folks, when you say U.S., I guess you mean the collection of special interests kind of allied with the Anglo-American establishment, or correct me if your view is different than mine, and what their worldview is. I see them pushing such a complex strategy that there isn't even really a strategy at all. They just think there's a strategy, and they're destabilizing the whole world in a belief that they can manage crises for more personal gain for the political and elite corporate class. But in the overall, losing true American soft power in the end and bringing in a global crisis that basically could end superpower status for the United States, and we become some weird hermit third world dictatorship of the totalitarians.
Well, there is a difference between the United States government and America the Beautiful. I do think that's important to bear in mind. I'm really speaking about the government and official.
Sure, but what do you think of what they've done? What do you think of what they've done?
Well, look, I just I don't have to get into any hidden conspiracies. I just take their actual words. I met with members of the Federal Open Market Committee. I've met with central bankers, and privately, not publicly, but privately, they will tell you they don't know what they're doing. They are making it up as they go along.
Exactly.
They say, we try this. If it doesn't work, we pull it back. If it works, we try a little more. I mean, the Federal Reserve has had 15 separate policies since 2009. You know, the forward guidance, first it was 2012, then it was 2013, now it's 2015, QE1, QE2, QE3, which had Part A, Part B, Operation Twist, currency wars, you know, you name it. I mean, on and on and on. When you have 15 policies in 5 years, you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. So bottom line, Judgment Day is coming, and the question is, what will Judgment Day look like?
Well, Judgment Day will look like a collapse of confidence in the U.S. dollar. And people say the dollar isn't backed by anything. Actually, it is backed by one thing. This is what Paul Volcker says, and I think he's right. It's backed by confidence.
Yes.
People believe the dollar is a store of value. They will continue to use dollars. But the minute they stop believing that, the dollar can collapse like a house of cards. Now, the problem with the Federal Reserve in particular, and I would say the U.S. Treasury, they take confidence for granted. They assume it's always going to be there. Therefore, they can do any policy they want, and it's all good. But confidence is fragile. It can be lost quickly. And once you lose it, it's very hard to get back.
All right. James Rickards is our guest. He is a heavy hitter. Comes highly recommended by Max Kaiser, but I'm familiar with his work separately. And he's really given us the non-political straight dope on what he thinks is going on. And it's not really what he thinks. Like he said, most of this stuff is on record. We're going to find out the time frame he thinks for the collapse, how bad it's going to be, what you can do to protect yourself straight ahead.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
The Death of Money is the book, available in bookstores everywhere. The Coming Collapse, the International Monetary System. Since his book came out, we've seen the acceleration away from the dollar, and we've seen food prices and a lot of other things increase, even with the cooked numbers. We're going to talk to him about that when the collapse is going to accelerate, or can it be staved off at this point with his expert view? And then the big issue, insider trading 9/11, with our guest James Rickards here in just a moment. First off, a couple issues. The new issue, we sell them in bulk at cost to wake up friends and family. You can buy, 10 of these for the cost of a regular glossy, 60-something page magazine. The InfoWars special report, Welcome to America, double cover. And it gets into the treason of opening our borders and giving the free welfare to the illegals, and how that's part of the North American Union, in General Petraeus' own words. And it covers a lot more in the new issue, available in groups of 10 up to 100 to sell in your store, hand out to friends and family, or give to the city council or the police department, or to donate to the library. InfoWarsStore.com, or call toll-free 888-253-3139. Also, in the month of July, at MadeIn1776.com, or just go to InfoWarsStore.com and click on the MadeIn1776 link, all of the Made in America, Molon Labe, Come and Take It, limited edition belt buckles, water bottles, Navy SEAL produced bottle breachers, Molon Labe men and women's t-shirts, all the anti-socialist George Washington apparel that drives socialists into hissy fits, all Made in America, InfoWarsStore.com. It's all massively discounted in the month of July. The golf shirts, all of it, InfoWarsStore.com. And lastly, in the month of July, we're doing that year-end special that we never do during the summer that's so popular, where you can get 5.3 months free on a yearly membership for the Nightly News, 7 o'clock weeknights, all the films, my book, Paul Watson's book, so many other films, live events, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWarsNews.com. Every membership for $5.95 a month can be used by 11 people simultaneously. Now, when you sign up for a year instead of a month, you get 5+ months free, almost half off, that we're offering right now for the month of July. Very popular special. I want to thank all of you that are members. That's InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsNews.com to sign up for that special. InfoWarsNews.com. And, of course, we've got discounts going with promo code WATER on the great ProPure water filtration systems if you don't want to drink the glyphosates and fluoride. And all of your purchases support this unabashed, hardcore, openly truthful, openly libertarian, openly biased towards liberty and the truth, InfoWars.com, radio, TV, nightly news, documentary film, news site, news combine that reaches close to 20 million people a week one way or another. What the Wall Street Journal and others have called the model of new media in the last decade and only growing faster with our team of reporters and everybody else and all the amazing guests. So I want to thank you all for your financial support. We don't get your money like MSNBC through stimulus money or NPR with taxpayer money. We're funded by free association, you deciding to become PrisonPlanet.tv members, deciding to get the fine supplements at InfoWarsLife.com. And I want to thank all of you. All right, going back to our guest, who is the best-selling author of, well, multiple books, highly recommended from Max Keiser. Everything he's saying from my research is spot on, but he goes deeper with his different connections inside the Federal Reserve and the defense establishment, JamesRickardsProject.com, or just Google James Rickards and his site will come up. The new book is The Death of Money. And he joins us via audio Skype now. Be sure and go check his website out. You can see him on Fox News and other channels as well. Some very informative videos up there. So, boiling it all down, this is going to happen. The question is, when will it happen? And my issue for you is, I'm not an economist or a top investor like you who's made so many accurate predictions. I know it's coming. But I already see prices increasing everywhere as the controlled media tells me prices aren't going up very much. I already see when I travel out of the country, the dollar is frowned upon in places just a few years ago it was smiled upon. I already see all over the place signs of real depression in many areas. And then I see the government gearing up for civil unrest, the Department of Defense admitting it. I mean, they've got to know Obamacare is going to shut down the economy, shutting down power plants is going to shut down the economy. They've got to know open borders, all of this. I mean, you're saying it's a bunch of ineptitude, and I know they have been trying everything under the sun. I'm sure that's part of it, but isn't there the vulture capitalist, crony capitalist angle of this, that a lot of insiders are going to make a lot of money out of a depression, or do you disagree with that, sir?
No, I think that's exactly right. And Exhibit A, I would say, is Warren Buffett. Now, look, Warren Buffett has this image as the avuncular sage of Omaha, the stock and best friend, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to billionaires, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Warren Buffett's last two big acquisitions, go back a few years, he bought the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad. Now, he bought the whole thing, by the way, and took it private. He didn't just buy a few shares. He bought the whole thing. Now, what is a railroad? A railroad is nothing but hard assets. It's right-of-way, mining rights adjacent to the right-of-way, rail, rolling stock, yards, switches, signals, etc. How does a railroad make money? It moves hard assets as freight, coal, corn, wheat, steel, etc. So a railroad is the ultimate hard asset. It's composed of hard assets, and it makes money moving hard assets. What was Warren Buffett's next big purchase? He bought oil and natural gas resources. And by the way, he doesn't need the Keystone Pipeline because he can move his own oil on his own railroad. You line up 100 tanker cars, you got a pipeline on wheels. So Warren Buffett is a guy who's dumping dollars as fast as he can getting into hard assets. It doesn't matter what happens to the dollar. The dollar could be confetti, which has happened before to other currencies. He still owns a railroad. He still owns oil. He still owns natural gas. He owns things that people need. This is very similar, by the way, to what happened in the famous Weimar hyperinflation in the Weimar Republic in Germany in 1922 and 1923. We all know who the losers were. The losers were the middle class savers. If you had money in the bank, a pension, an annuity, an insurance policy, retirement income, a steady job, you were the loser because all of your fixed income assets were wiped out. But there were a lot of winners too. The winners were the industrialists, people with factories. If you have a factory, it's a factory. It doesn't matter what the currency does. People who had gold in Switzerland, people who had assets overseas, they were the winners because they were not wiped out. Then they went around and bought up all the losers, consolidated industrial holdings into relatively few hands. Then they decided that Hitler would be a good puppet for them. That didn't work out too well in the long run. But we've seen this movie before. So watch what Buffett does. He's dumping paper money, getting into hard assets. But there are many, many other examples. And, you know, Alex, when we talk about this collapse, I think the government and the Federal Reserve would like to avoid it, but there's another part of them that knows it's coming. So they've got their own plan B ready. And like we said earlier, you don't have to break into a safe in the middle of the night. They actually put this stuff on their website. Go to the IMF website, the International Monetary Fund website. They published a paper in January 2011. It's on the website. And it's a 10-year plan to make the SDR, that's the special drawing right. SDR stands for special drawing right, the global reserve currency. Now, what's an SDR? Well, it stands for special drawing right. That's a really geeky name. What it is world money. Now, so why did they call it an SDR? Well, they knew if they called it world money, it might scare people. So they gave it this really, technical name so people would sort of yawn and look somewhere else. It's kind of like the Federal Reserve. I mean, the Federal Reserve is the central bank of the United States. Why did they not call it the central bank of the United States in 1913? Because they knew that Americans hate central banks. So they called it the Federal Reserve. Well, the same thing with this world money. It's the special drawing right. Now, by the way, there's nothing new about SDRs. They were invented in 1969. They've been issued from time to time. They were actually issued in 2009. I might have been the only guy outside the IMF to notice. But this is just printed money. And by the way, the easiest way to understand it, it's not that technical. The Federal Reserve has a printing press. They can print dollars. The European Central Bank has a printing press. They can print euros. The IMF has a printing press. They can print SDRs. And they do. And they have. And they're not backed by anything. And it'll be highly inflationary, except when we... So the next time there's a liquidity crisis. Remember, the last time there was a liquidity crisis and a financial panic in 2008, the Fed bailed out the whole world. We know they printed $4 trillion, but that was just the tip of the iceberg. They did tens of trillions of dollars of swaps, guarantees, with the FDIC, guaranteed every bank deposit in America, guaranteed every money market fund in America. Propped up the system for the benefit of the elites, the power elites who actually benefit the most from that. But there's a problem. They're tapped out. In other words, they haven't unwound any of that. A lot of that's still in place. So when the next crisis comes, it's going to be bigger than the Fed. They're not going to be able to go to $8 trillion or $12 trillion on their balance sheet because they'll destroy confidence. So where is the liquidity going to come from? It's going to come from the IMF in the form of SDRs. It will be highly inflationary, but no one will understand where it's coming from. I call the IMF transparently non-transparent. And what I mean by that is they're transparent in the sense that they put these plans on their website, but they're non-transparent in the sense that no one understands them because it's all technical.
Sure, exactly. They try to play both sides. And they consolidate power on the way up in the bubble. They consolidate power during the collapse, always posing as the savior. They never get in trouble. So you've broken down the technicals beautifully, and I know your book gets into more detail. How bad is it going to get? Because they're funding destabilizations in Eastern Europe. They're funding this new caliphate running around, starting a civil war, blowing up Shiite mosque. Look, I understand they don't know what they're doing at many levels, trying to put it off so they can say they tried to do it. But on the other hand, they're trying to destabilize things at the same time. I mean, the evidence is there. What do they think they're going to get out of this? Where is America going? How bad is it going to get? And what's the time frame? Because am I wrong in saying that we're seeing major signs that the creep towards the exits at the movie theater is starting to get a little bit faster here? Because it looks like the dollar's in trouble here.
Well, the dollar's in trouble, but so are global capital markets. And the signs are everywhere, Alex. Let me give you a very concrete example. So we're watching the stock indices. I guess the stock market's off a tiny bit today, but they've been going up and up and up. They're at all-time highs. They're at record highs. And the mainstream media says, hey, happy days are here again. Stock market's at an all-time high. Get out there and buy some stocks. Meanwhile, this is going up on very high leverage, meaning borrowed money. So New York Stock Exchange leverage is at an all-time high, and it's going up on very thin volume, which means that not many people are participating. But meanwhile, what the experts, the pros, are buying put options. Now, a put option is a way to bet that the market's going down. So let's say I have a lot of stock and it's been going up and I've been making a lot of money. Well, I might want to get out, but if I start selling the stock, I might be the snowflake that causes the avalanche, and I don't want that to happen. So what they do is they go over here to a different market. They buy put options, which is to bet the market's going to go down. Now, remember the Chinese, they got the paper, but they also have the gold.
Yeah.
The pros have the stocks, but they also have they're hedging. So when the market crashes, the little guy's going to get wiped out on his 401k, but the big guys, yeah, they'll lose money on their stocks, but they're going to make money on their puts and lock in their profits. This is the kind of thing that's going on behind the scenes. You have to be a bit of an expert, a bit of a technician to see it, but it is visible. All this is publicly available.
And it's accelerating, correct? They're not just hedging now. From what I've seen, they're piling on to getting out of all the pop assets on the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones, and they're moving into the most hardcore stable assets.
Right. Well, some of them are doing that. Warren Buffett's a good example. But for people who want to hedge themselves because remember, if you start selling the stock, you might be the guy who causes the avalanche. What they're doing is keeping the stock to some extent, but buying these put options. So now they're hedged. The market could go down. They don't care because whatever they lose in the stocks, they'll make in the puts. But the little guy is not a technical
option. How long can this go on?
Well, one of the hard things is some of these things can go on longer than you expect. It won't go on forever. I don't think it'll go on much longer. I don't think we'll get 2 or 3 years down the road. We might not get 1 year down the road. I don't want to say it's going to happen tomorrow because the thing about bubbles is they go on longer than we expect. But I wouldn't be waiting for the day. See, a lot of people, you know, I talk about this all over the world, Alex, and people invariably come to me and they say something to the effect of, you know, hey, Jim, call me at 3 o'clock the day before it crashes. I'll sell my stocks and buy gold. And I say, it doesn't work that way. I'm not going to know the day before. I can see it coming for sure, but I'm not going to know the day before. The time to prepare is now. The time to get out of stocks, get some gold. Don't go overboard. I recommend 10% gold. Other kinds of hard assets, sure. Fine art, et cetera. The time to do that is now. By the way, for the small investor, when you want gold, when gold starts gapping up, when I say gapping up, $100 an ounce, boom, next day up $200 an ounce, boom, next day up $300 an ounce, a week goes by, it's up $1,000 an ounce, it's running away. That's when most people are going to say, oh, gee, I better get some gold. Guess what? You're not going to be able to find it. The mint will stop shipping. Your local dealer will be out. The
big you want to get it beforehand.
Sovereign wealth funds. Correct. That's exactly right.
Well, look at the Chinese government, the University of Texas. They've all been quietly hoarding it while they use all these naked shorts and things to drive down the overall price of gold. But as real inflation kicks in all commodities, I don't think they can suppress the price of gold much longer. I would imagine it's going to go up in the fall. What do you say?
It usually does go up in the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter is usually strong for gold. I think the technical setup is good. I was in Switzerland recently, and on this last trip, instead of visiting the banks, which I usually do, I went to see the guys who actually store gold, the top secure logistics firms in the world, and the guys who actually refine gold. So people handling the physical stuff. They told me stories that'll make your hair stand on end. I talked to the largest refiner in Switzerland. He said he's working triple shifts, so 24 hours a day. He's producing 20 tons of gold a week. The Chinese are taking half. So there's 10 tons of gold a week going to China times 50 weeks. You know, that's 500 tons a year. Remember, I mentioned earlier, there's not that much official gold in the world. So he said the Chinese want more, but he said, I won't sell it to them because I have to take care of my regular customers. And he said, for the first time, I'm having trouble sourcing gold, meaning, you know, when you're a refiner, you take gold from, you know, scrap and jewelry and miners and other 400 ounce bars, and you re-refine it into what the Chinese want, which are 1 kilo bars of 4.9 purity. He said, I'm having trouble sourcing it. I said, well, when was the last time that happened? He said, it's never happened. So the technical setup is very strong. Gold is just, you know, the reason gold had a weak year in 2013 was because the exchange trade of fund, GLD, that's the ticker symbol, disgorged 500 tons. That was a raid on the GLD warehouse by the big banks who control that warehouse because they were sending that gold to China. Well, you can't do that twice. I mean, you can do it once because they had, about 1,100 tons at the beginning of the year. So take away 500 tons. Now you're down to 600
tons. So now is the time, in your view, to buy gold, but people never do. They only buy once it's racing up. It's of course, I buy when it's low. I bought most of my gold at about $300 to $500 and haven't sold any of it. We're going to come back and go to break, sir, and I want to segue into really the bombshell information that you let out a little bit on Max Keiser's show on RT a few months ago. I mean, I know it was in Der Spiegel and some of the German newspapers at the time, but you were a witness, according to Max, to this, to some of the insider trading prior to 9/11. So I want to go to break and come back in the next two little short segments and really, have you break that down and what that signifies, because, you're saying you don't know the day before something's going to happen, but other people did. And I remember also in the papers, it wasn't just that. There were, FBI agents and Secret Service people, and there were little kids that said those towers won't be there next week. And then that all got shut down. So there was a lot of people that knew, a lot of people that across the board who didn't go to work that day. And those are not conspiracy theories. The media has tried to turn it into those with red herring, fake stories and things. But undoubtedly, that's a big deal. So our guest, James Rickards, has a lot of courage, best-selling author of Currency Wars. He's going to come back and talk about that. The Death of Money, the Coming Collapse of the International Monetary System, is his new book. And I've not read it yet. It just came in last week, and I've had family in town and stuff, and then been out of town. But I'm going to read it immediately. But hearing him talk, it's some of the most cogent, focused analysis I've ever heard. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Third hour is coming up. Our guest will be with us a little bit into the third hour. Then I plan to get into other news and open the phones up. Here's a headline out of Voice of Russia. Beijing, Seoul, that's South Korea's capital, agree to direct trade in national currencies. That's a big deal. Those two have a massive amount of trade that then ends up here. I mean, the dollar is being cut off every day. And it is just very, very frightening, because I talk to the average person out there and they say, I don't care if they shut down coal power plants. I don't care if they shut down somebody's business. I don't own it. I don't care if the dollar dies. Let it die. Alex, this system needs to come down. America's corrupt. I'm sick of it. Let it all come down. Well, yeah, it is corrupt, but it's not America. It's a multinational system, and it's going to hurt us, folks. It's going to hurt the average person. I don't care if the stock market goes down. I don't own any stock. It affects everybody you work for, where you go, the bonuses you get. It's ridiculous how self-centered the average American is. And I'm not saying everybody, but we were very morally upright people on average when we had the Great Depression, and it was rough. And I think what we're about to see could be even worse. What do you briefly say to that, James Rickards, best-selling author and top analyst, about what a depression would look like with this type of population?
Well, if you want to know what a depression looks like, look around, Alex. We're in a depression. This depression started in 2007, and it will continue indefinitely until we get some structural changes, which I don't see on the horizon. Now, a lot of people don't know what the meaning of a depression is. They assume it means continuous declining GDP, but that is not the definition. You can have growth in a depression. What it means is the growth is depressed relative to trend. So a trend, long-term trend of growth in the United States is, say, 3.5%. And by the way, in the short run, you can grow 4, 5, or even 6%, as we did during some of the years when Ronald Reagan was president, because you're bringing unemployed people back into the labor force at a faster rate. So trend is 3.5%. Short-term growth is 4 or 5%. But if you're actually growing at 1-2%, which we are, that's a depression. It's the gap between the potential and the actual. And that represents lost wealth, and you never make it up. So, I mean, you have to be 90 years old today to have a living memory of the Great Depression. So essentially, basically no one knows what it feels like. Well, except we do. It feels like this. And I've had people say, well, Jim, if we're in a depression, where are the soup lines? The soup lines are at Whole Foods, because you get your food stamps on a little debit card, and you can walk into Whole Foods and get some gourmet soup to go. So it's not that we don't have soup lines, but they're just in the supermarkets. They're not on the streets. But you look at labor force participation, you look at real wages, you look at unemployed, underemployed, people working part-time, wish they had full-time jobs, actual growth. We're in a depression now. Now, could it get worse? Yes, it could get a lot worse, because you can put a financial panic or financial collapse on top of a depressed economy, and that's what I see coming.
Sure. I mean, if the welfare checks don't show up, or if they don't have the buying power, it's the same of them not showing up. Cities will burn. I mean, that's just a fact. And the Pentagon knows that. Do they think a bunch of armored vehicles are going to keep everybody safe?
Well, they're hoping it doesn't come to that, but they're certainly prepared for it. I mean, we see, you know, not news, really, the militarization of local police. As I say, these are not, your local police force are not people who get kittens out of trees. They've got flashbang grenades, high-tech battering rams, night vision goggles, tear gas, automatic weapons, you know, body armor, armor personnel carriers, and they'll break down your door for, you know, a simple, you know, credit card fraud or something. So, and there was a case the other day where, sadly, they threw a grenade and blew the face off a two-year-old child sleeping in a crib. So that's your local police force.
But if you're illegal and have an aggravated felony, you can come right on in. I mean, this is becoming bizarro world. Stay there. We've got a little five-minute segment, sir, after a one-minute break, where I want you to finish up on the collapse in your book and what you mean by the death of money. I haven't read the book yet. I read your last book years ago. And then I want to, in that next segment, you've agreed to stay with us about 15 after or so. I want to get into the insider trading because, folks, you're one of the only eyewitnesses to this. It was confirmed, but not the details. So the third hour is coming up. Folks, tell your friends and family to tune in. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us. PrisonPlanet.com is the backup mirror. PrisonPlanet.com. Follow us on Twitter, Real Alex Jones. And we'll also give you our guest website when we come back.
Hi. I'm Dr. Edward Grupp. It took me 20 years of searching the globe to find the deposit of the highest purity iodine available. The new Survival Shield X2 is mined from 7 to 10,000 feet below the Earth in pristine, environmentally clean conditions. The iodine crystals we use are extracted from an ancient 300 million plus year old deposit deep in the Earth. It's the strongest nascent iodine on the market today. It delivers 650 micrograms per drop. Experience the new formula. Experience the ancient purity. Shield your family. Survival Shield X2, available now at InfoWarsLife.com.
X2 from InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. Thank you so much for joining us. With us until the end of the next segment is James Rickards, best-selling author of Currency Wars. And I'll give you his website as well. It's jamesrickardsproject.com. It's an excellent website. A lot of videos and information there. We've only got about 5 minutes of this segment. Got a 12-minute segment coming up, and then we'll let you go because I know you're a busy man and appreciate the time. Finishing up with, what does your gut tell you? Because, you know, rich elites can always run to the next safe country. But to me, the United States does not look like a very good place to be during a full-on collapse. 20% chance of full-on collapse? 50%? I mean, the depression just keeps getting worse and worse. I agree by all metrics. We've been in a depression since 2008 or earlier. Most real economists agree with that. But, I mean, how bad will it get?
Well, the next financial crisis will be the worst in history, Alex, and that's not just an opinion or a wild guess. It's actually based on the science of complexity, which I talk about in both my books, The Death of Money and Currency Wars. Complexity theory basically looks at the scale of a system. That's a fancy word for size, but here's the point. When you triple the scale of a system, you don't triple the risk. You increase the risk by an exponential factor, 10 or 100 times. So in 2008, what did we hear about ad nauseum? Too big to fail, too big to fail, too big to fail. Well, guess what? The five biggest banks in the United States in 2008 today are bigger. They have a larger percentage of all the banking assets. Their derivatives books are bigger. So everything that was too big in 2008 is bigger today, which means the next collapse will be exponentially bigger. And it was all the Fed could do to put out the fire last time. The next one's going to be bigger than the Fed. It's going to be over to the IMF. And there's no, by the way, I talked earlier about these special drawing rights. That's the world money, the IMF issues. Well, there's no way they're issuing that without Russian, Chinese, and other people's approval, because they're all members of the IMF. The G20 is sort of the de facto board of directors of the IMF. And they're not going to say, hey, let's just issue a bunch of SDR so we can prop up the dollar. They're going to say, let's issue SDR so we can bury the dollar once and for all. Now, the impact of this is just inflationary at best, and possibly hyperinflationary. It doesn't mean the dollar is going to go away. You'll still have dollars, but they'll be like Mexican pesos. In other words, the dollar will be a local currency that you use to go down to, you know, restaurant or hairdresser or whatever, but it won't be used for the big things. When I say the big things, the price of oil, settlement of balance of payments between countries, probably the financial statements of the 100 or so largest global corporations. So, you know, a few years from now, when you get your financial statement from IBM or General Electric, it'll all be stated in SDRs because they're really global corporations. So this SDR is the coming thing. Now, it might not work. It will definitely be tried. As I say, the blueprint's already there. It's on the IMF website. Secretary Geithner talked about it. He said he was open to it. Madame Lagarde, Christine Lagarde, head of the IMF, talks about it all the time. So the plan is already there. It will definitely be tried. Whether it works or not is a different question. If people lose confidence in the dollar, why would they have any more confidence in another form of paper money called the SDR? Well, if it works, it will only be because no one understands it, which is why education is so important. That's why I've read my books and do interviews like this one, just try to explain it to people in very straightforward terms. If it fails, however, which it might, then you're probably going to have to bring gold back into the picture, not because you want to, but because you have to, just to restore some confidence. But there's another side to this, which is as what I call the money riots break out, as confidence is lost, as society begins to disintegrate, you'll see a neo-fascist response. Executive orders, militarized local police, National Guard. We already have the wiretapping. We already have the surveillance. The cameras are there. By the way, every toll booth in America, we think they're there to collect tolls. They're actually surveillance and interdiction points. And the new thing, of course, is the drive, you know, the driverless car. Well, imagine going around a driverless car and the government wants to turn it off and come and get you. I mean, these are all things that are coming.
Incredible. James Rickards is our guest. Meanwhile, the LAPD announced what they'd already been doing covertly. Even felony illegals are going to be released now, carte blanche above the law. So you have to be illegal to be above the law now. And the Texas Civil Rights Commission, that's basically a communist front group, is openly in Austin criticizing the sheriff for even arresting felony illegals. Alex Jones here for InfoWars.com. In the month of July, we have got giant specials on everything at MadeIn1776.com. The already discounted MadeIn1776 t-shirts are only $17.76. We have the new belt buckles that in only 2 weeks of sale are very close to selling out. There's only 500 of each. We're talking about Made in America belt buckles in nickeled brass. This is more than a summer blowout special. This is a new declaration of independence. But to expand the InfoWar, we're offering the equivalent of more than 5 months free right now when you get a membership at PrisonPlanet.tv for a limited time, only $39.95 a year. That's more than 5 months free off the regular price. Not just this July 4th weekend, but the entire month of July at MadeIn1776.com. Molon Labe, you can take my gun from my cold, dead hands.
In the near future.
When you realize how fake it all is, the football, the basketball.
Alert. Security alert. This is Homeland Security. Analysis. InfoWars building independent media operations.
You let the worst people get controlled and tell us that we are the ones responsible.
Prime Directive. Discredit Alex Jones.
Jones is the wildly popular conspiracy theorist.
A popular conspiracy theory talk show called InfoWars.
Alex Jones is now in an Austin jail.
These people are assaulting us.
Targeting of patriots engaged.
They are never going to stop. They're never going to deviate from their program until we stop them.
Block free iPhone app at InfoWars.com. Block free podcast and video feed. Imperative. Destroy Prison Planet TV.
You gotta set your eye on the enemy, not worry about what propaganda they put out. Intellectually, it's begun. You can feel it.
Man, when I get home from work, all Betty does is watch her reality TV and then she goes to sleep. I could take her on romantic dates, I get her flowers, you name it. She's just not the woman I married.
Oh, Ralph, that's just awful.
Does this seem familiar? Are the honeymoon days of your relationship long gone? If so, consider this. The abundance of chemical additives, pesticides, BPA containers, contaminated tap water, and other toxic substances found in our environment. Experts know our bodies are suffering and being thrown off balance, especially when it comes to your natural systems. Forget synthetic chemicals. Super Female Vitality brings forward key herbs specifically chosen for women's biology without the use of phony additives. Get your bottle of Super Female Vitality today at InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or call 1-888-253-3139. InfoWarsLife.com. Live life healthy.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Monday through Friday, ladies and gentlemen, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're here live. And then, of course, we return weeknights, 7 o'clock Central, InfoWars Nightly News. Then I return Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. as well. Not just the hardest working guy in radio and TV, my crew is, and I salute them, you the listeners, our sponsors, and, of course, Providence from the good Lord above. Final segment with James Rickards, best-selling author of Currency Wars, the new book, The Death of Money, which I'm going to be reading. I'm not selling the book. I should be, but I think you should get it. Just the graphs and quotes and documentation, this guy. No wonder Max Kaiser says this guy's about as good as it gets to real analysis. I hope he'll come back on the show every few months just to go over things and give us his perspective. Before we go back to him, when he leaves us, we're going to go to your phone calls. And then we're going to cover the CBS News story, LAPD to no longer comply with feds on immigration hold request of felons, of criminals, not just people that are there illegally. And you wonder how the illegals come here from all over the world to rape and kill and serial kill from Eastern Europe and Africa and Latin America. We always pick on Latin America because that's 80%+. I mean, it's people fleeing justice. You just get on a plane or a bus, you're here, you're legal. I mean, this is crazy town by the elite, and L.A. is a total globalist takeover base, the third worldization, and look at this image if you're watching this on TV. LAPD no longer comply with feds on immigration hold request, and it just shows them all up there, and there's a video announcement that if you're illegal, you're above the law. They will not hold illegals to be picked up by ICE when they've committed crimes. They will just release them. And then I just can't believe it. That's political correctness. I guess if I robbed a bank, the cops pull up with guns out, and I go, hey, don't be racist, they probably say, Mr. Jones, let us escort you with the money right to your vehicle. I mean, literally. Wow. All right, shifting gears into the big subject and giving him the floor to break it down. Insider Trading 9/11, please tell us, sir, again, for folks that just tuned in, what you were doing at the time, your background. James Rickards, again, best-selling author of The Death of Money and of Currency Wars, joins us. He's been on with us for over an hour, getting into the current financial situation. But now, the big enchilada. We know it was in Der Spiegel and a few other publications, if you just joined us, that there was insider trading connected to the executive director of the CIA, Buzzy Krongard. That investigation got shut down. He was inside one of these major financial institutions while this was going on and is one of the only witnesses to what happened. And I want to give you the floor, James. Now, you have a lot of courage to talk about this. Tell us exactly what you saw.
Well, a couple things, Alex. The first thing, I think the most important one, you have to distinguish between inside trading and what some commentators call inside job. And these get blurred together. Insider trading just means somebody knew about the attack in advance and they went into markets and either sold stocks or bought put options, which is the same thing as selling stocks, or they bought bonds, which are different, to make money when the attack happened. That is non-debatable. I cover this in chapter one of my book. It happened. There was insider trading. There's tons of evidence of it. When I say evidence, I mean statistical, forensic, anecdotal. It absolutely happened. Now, inside job is different. That somehow suggests that the government, U.S. government, had something to do with it. I've seen no evidence of that. And by the way, I went down there. Now, after 9/11, I mean, I'm talking in the immediate days, not 6 months or a year later when it was a memorial and a tourist attraction. I'm talking when flames were still coming out of the rubble. The military set up a secure perimeter around Lower Manhattan. There were various checkpoints at Canal Street and Church Street, if you know the area. You needed security clearance or some official business, or you had to be in the maintenance of one of those buildings, et cetera, to get inside that perimeter. I was inside that perimeter. I went to the roof of the American Express building, which after the two towers and World Trade Center 7 came down, the American Express building was the tallest building. This is in the World Financial Center across the street from the World Trade Center. I went out on the roof. It was not an observation deck. It was a roof. I went out there and I looked straight down into the flaming ruins of the World Trade Center. And I was reminded of Rodin's sculpture, The Gates of Hell. I thought the gates of hell had been open and I was looking into them. That's what I saw. So, you know, these armchair engineers who talk about controlled demolition and all this stuff, I mean, there's zero proof of that. That's a lot of nonsense. Some guy said to me, oh, there are 2,000 engineers.
No, I understand your proviso that you're not a 9/11 truther, but specifically insider trading, prior knowledge that something was coming on American and United.
Correct. Well, first of all, there is a ton of statistical evidence. By the way, the 9/11 Commission never said that there wasn't insider trading. What they said was that they found no evidence of insider trading. But if you don't look, you're not going to find the evidence. So that was sort of a lawyer's, you know, wiggle room to get out of actually dealing with the issues. The 9/11 Commission report itself does not say that there wasn't insider trading. Now, about a year after 9/11, I was asked by the Central Intelligence Agency to join a project that looked into the possibility of a future attack. And what we said was, okay, if there was insider trading ahead of 9/11, could you have seen it? And if another spectacular attack was coming, would there be insider trading again? Could you detect it from market signals? Could you get a FISA warrant, break down the door, and stop the attack? And we spent years studying that, and I was a co-director of that project, and I met with the people at the SEC who did the investigation for the 9/11 Commission. I worked with the CIA on this. I worked with hundreds of volunteers, Nobel Prize winners, et cetera. So I was very, very involved in this, and we wrote the definitive study of this. Now, here's the thing. If you're a detective and you find a body with a bullet hole in the head, but there was no witnesses, it doesn't mean you can't prove the crime. It just means you need some other kind of evidence. If you don't have eyewitness evidence, you use DNA. Well, the DNA equivalent in stock markets is statistical evidence, and there were numerous academic studies, and they're all cited in my book. My book has 300 footnotes, so I don't make things up. There's tons of documentation. Any reader can go find the source material. That there was no question that the put buying, oh, by the way, put buying is a bet that the stock's going to go down, before 9/11 was enormous. It would be as if, you know, a guy ordered one ham and cheese sandwich for lunch every day for 10 years, and then one day he ordered 300 ham and cheese sandwiches. That's the kind of put buying we saw in the last five trading days prior to 9/11. I met at CIA headquarters with John Mulhern. John Mulhern was the head of one of the four largest specialists on the New York Stock Exchange. He was the market maker in American Airlines stock. And I looked at him, I said, John, was there insider trading in American Airlines ahead of 9/11? He said, it was the most blatant case of insider trading I've ever seen. By the way, since my book came out, Alex, it's kind of interesting. There are people with additional information who have contacted me. They've come forward almost like they want to get something off their chest. So there are stories that are not in my book because these people contacted me after the book came out, but one of the most chilling stories, a fellow came to me. He was a dealer, one of the so-called primary dealers. They're the biggest banks in the government securities market. He handles sovereign wealth funds, which are the biggest traders in the government securities market. So here's a guy, the biggest trader for the biggest dealers in U.S. government securities. On September 10th, the day before 9/11, he was actually out of the office at an outing. His phone rang. His trading assistant said, hey, there's someone on the phone. They want to buy $2 billion of 2-year treasury notes. Now, $2 billion is an enormous order. The biggest firms, they might trade $100 million at a time or sometimes larger. $2 billion of two-year notes is an off-the-charts order. This customer had never called before. It wasn't as if it was a long-standing customer, and it was a sovereign wealth fund. He didn't tell me the name of the country, but I think you can infer that it might be Saudi Arabia. But and then he did the trade. Of course, the next day, 9/11 comes, those securities soared in value, so that trader made a fortune, and then he never heard from the customer again. So, you know, when someone who's never spoken to you before calls the day before the attack, buys $2 billion of two-year notes, the next day the attack comes, the securities go up, the guy makes a fortune, walks away, never heard from again. This is the kind of stuff that was going on. It was going on a very large scale. Not even all the stories have come out. So no question about insider trading. Now, where I fault the government was for not looking. And just to bring that story forward to the present day, and what we were talking about earlier, Alex, with the death of the dollar, we all know what happened in Ukraine in March and April of 2014 this year, just prior to the invasion. Russia, which owns a lot of U.S. Treasury securities in its central bank, started dumping U.S. Treasuries last October. Was anybody looking at that? In other words, if you're Russia and you know you're going to invade Crimea and you think the U.S. is going to push back with economic sanctions, you want to mitigate the impact of the sanctions by lightening your load of U.S. Treasury securities. Well, they started doing that in October. So my criticism of the U.S. government is not that they were in on it. I think it's nonsense, but that they weren't looking then. They're not looking now. And these techniques that you need to look at it are not that difficult because hedge funds do it every day.
Sure. James, though, look, obviously you're a smart guy. I know you got brought in by the CIA to do this report because there are good people in all these, you know, agencies. There's also bad actors and bad subgroups. Some history's shown that. Clearly, when you had some of the supposed hijackers trained at U.S. bases in all sorts of spy training, and then that got covered up, clearly you had Iraq being attacked, not Saudi Arabia. Clearly, you have the police state being set up on the backs of the attack of 9/11, the lying about the dust. When I say inside job, I mean the system stood to gain from this on so many fronts. And it's Saudi Arabia right now driving the bus with these attacks and this new invasion of Syria and Iraq, that certain power structures, Carlyle Group and others, stood to gain from this, and there's enough to investigate it. I mean, even six of the 10 commissioners have said the official story did not reflect reality. So what do you say to that?
Well, you can gain from it and not know why you're gaining, and that happens all the time. Let me give you a very simple example. So let's say a very small trade goes through. So there's someone with inside information. They know the attack is coming. They do a trade. Now, who would that person be? Well, it could be, you know, a cook, a driver, a safe house operator, an associate, a brother, father, sister, mother. Everyone has a social network, and there was definitely a wider group than the hijackers themselves, of course, who knew about this attack coming. And people in that position cannot resist some insider trading. And when people are skeptical of that, they say, why would you compromise operational security? I have a two-word answer, which is Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart was a legitimate billionaire. She made $1 billion through honesty and hard work, but she ended up behind bars because she couldn't resist a little securities fraud involving a tip on insider trading. So that's the human nature side of it. Now, here's what happens. So that trade goes through. Now, there was no news that day. If somebody's buying put options and there's bad news about the airlines, that's one thing. But when the market's going up, the sector's going up, all the other airlines are going up, and someone's buying puts on United Airlines and American Airlines, and there's no news, then you know somebody knows something you don't. So you might buy more put options yourself. That doesn't make you a criminal or an insider trader. It just makes you actually a very smart trader. This is what's called the piggyback, or technically the name for it is signal amplification. So by the end of the day, it's not surprising that there was a massive volume of puts.
Only sure, I understand word of mouth. I mean, if you told one person, I found a bunch of gold laying around at the foot of this hill, and, you know, in 10 hours, there'd be 100 people out there looking for gold, and there'd be people looking for gold 100 years after the gold was already picked up. That rumor would never die. I get signal amplification. What I don't get is Mayor Willie Brown, San Francisco Chronicle, on screen September 12th, told not to fly to New York by Condoleezza Rice, it turned out, National Security Advisor, on September 10th. Joint Chiefs of Staff canceled a meeting in New York 2 days before 9/11. Source, ABC News. I mean, my issue here is you look at problem, reaction, solution, and the radical transformation of America into a police state that you were just talking about earlier, and the NSA and the rest of it, and you see the wrong country attacked, you know, not Saudi Arabia, but Iraq. I mean, you can see why people don't buy into the official story. Because if you questioned insider trading, they said, oh, you're a liar. It doesn't exist. If you questioned our sickening relationship with Saudi Arabia, oh, they're perfect. Shut up. You know, you're racist. I mean, I think that's why people don't buy the official story of 9/11.
Well, look, I'm a simple guy, Alex. I stick to facts. And look, I get attacked by the mainstream for talking about insider trading ahead of 9/11. I get attacked by the truthers for not buying into controlled demolition of World Trade Center 7. So I probably have it right if I'm on that middle ground. By the way, this stuff about, as I said, I was there. The armchair engineers can think what they want. I was there. There was nothing controlled about that. There was not a demolition. I mean, I was inside the American Express building on the 17th floor, which was Lehman Brothers headquarters at the time. The face of the building was ripped off. So I'm inside the sure. building looking out at a blue sky with girders stuck into that space with the face of the building ripped off by what was really a wave of metallic debris that came over because there was so much of it. That was not a controlled demolition. By the way, the biggest tenant in World Trade Center 7, United States government. So why would the U.S. government have a plot to blow up its own office and kill its own people? This is where these things fall down.
Well, they could put a lot of the records there, FBI, CIA, all based there. And the criminal group within government could then run the operation out of there and then burn it down. But listen, let's shift gears out of that. I respect people who disagree with me legitimately and who bring up real issues. And just to expand on what Kaiser had told me, that specifically you have interviewed people who were there at the terminals and could see the insider right. trading coming in and were basically blocked, not you specifically, but you wrote that report. So I appreciate your courage. I mean, I've already scanned through some of your book. I'm familiar with your work. I mean, I think you're being very truthful about warning the people, and we appreciate you. So I don't think there should be some orthodoxy of heresy where we politically burn you at the stake if you don't, you know, with your own perspective, agree with everything we're saying. I mean, the 9/11 truthers all fight with each other and have hundreds of different views. I get what you're saying. I don't think it's evil to look at it as an inside job. I don't think it's evil to not look at it as that. I think what we both agree is this. Regardless, it's been used to take our liberties, and our borders are basically wide open right now, and they haven't let a good crisis go to waste. They've used this to bring the military-industrial complex home, and we need to reverse this right now. It's not keeping us safe.
Well, that will get worse, Alex, and just on a going forward basis when this financial crisis comes. People are going to find, there's a lot of concern. Gee, not everybody can get out at once. People are going to find that they can't get out, that they're not going to be able to withdraw savings from the banks. The banks, that's the so-called bail-in. So their accounts are going to be blocked. ATMs are going to be shut off. Major institutions are going to be told that they cannot sell. It's not a question of, gee, can I sell at a good price? You won't be able to sell. So the architecture of the bail-in writ large is already there, and I'll be talking about that in future interviews. But the crisis is going to be a lot worse, but the response is going to be much more draconian.
Well, there you go. The bail-in. Spend a few more minutes if you can. Come back as soon as you want to get into that in great detail. We now see them announcing in Europe, places like Spain, oh, we want a tax on your money in the bank account. But it's only going to start, at a low percentage point. Oh, the Cyprus model. And then we see the laws and regulations being changed, the real-time surveillance of every financial system to do just that. That's the word I'm getting from, as you have contacts, I have contacts at, I'm not going to even say, at president level of major banks, big five banks. And they're scared and asking me what they think they should do. And then I'm asking them. I mean, it's kind of like we're passing a hand grenade around to each other with musical chairs. I mean, what's going to happen when they do a bail-in and you don't just can't get your money out, now they're stealing it?
Well, that's exactly right. And I do think, as I said, the next crisis is going to be bigger. It's going to be bigger than the Fed. They hope it goes away, but it's not going away. The economy, we're in a depression. We're going to stay in that indefinitely. It's just a matter of time. By the way, if you look at the very low volatility of the last 5 years, the period that it resembles most was 2002 to 2007. In other words, the period from 2009 to 2014, if you graph it by various metrics, it looks exactly like the period from 2002 to 2007. And we all know what happened next. So get ready.
And the derivatives overhang hasn't been dialed back. It's only been increased.
Well, that's right. And by the way, that's another interesting phenomenon. This is a little bit technical, but the Fed is now experimenting with a massive exercise in what's called reverse repo. And I'll explain that very simply. Reverse repo is the Fed has all these government securities. How did they get them? Well, they printed money and they bought the government securities from the dealers, from the banks. And that's how they print money and get it out to the banking system. The problem is the dealers and the banks need the government securities as collateral for the derivatives because they want to leverage 10 to 1 or 100 to 1, et cetera, do the derivatives to prop up the asset markets. But when I do a derivative with you, I do a swap with you, you're like, hey, Jim, how do I know you're good for the money? Well, one of the ways you know is I'll send you treasury securities as collateral. So that's your guarantee that I'm going to perform my end of the deal. Well, what happens when the Fed buys up all the securities and the banks no longer have the securities to post as collateral to prop up the derivatives, which are propping up the stock market? Well, the Fed's solution to that is they are now lending the securities back to the dealers on a short-term overnight basis and taking cash in return. So on the one hand, they're printing money to buy the securities. On the other hand, they're lending them back to the dealers overnight so they can post as collateral. That's how bad things are.
Once so they're reselling all these fraudulent financial instruments again.
Well, technically relending, but they're making them available through these so-called reverse repos, but that's right. But they buy them permanently by printing money, and then they lend them back temporarily. You say, why would you do that? Well, so that they can have collateral to support the derivatives books to prop up the stock market. This is, I've been doing this too long, but I actually understand all these technicalities. It's what I do professionally, and it's just appalling, and it makes your hair stand on end.
Well, I appreciate you giving us extra time. Next time you come on, we'll just do an hour. We got about a minute or two left before break. I can't wait to read the book, but expanding on that, talking to the people in the CIA, talking to the folks in the military intelligence. I talked to some of those people as well. Most of them are compartmentalized, have never done anything wrong, have actually tried to help the country. And I mean, now they're having this big discussion about, is this on purpose or was it by design? I mean, I think in a complex system, you're going to have people playing every point of the board. So I think the answer is it's everything. Right. But we better decide to get back to freedom and back to justice, or we're going to go off the edge, as you said, into a hyper-fascism. I mean, what are people saying to you about the future of this country? Because in a fascist system, nobody's safe. We should all not want to go this direction.
Well, I had a meeting in the office of the Secretary of Defense, and I told a very senior official there, I said, look, the day will come when your destroyer, your cruiser, will pull up to a fuel depot in Singapore, and you'll say to the operator, fill her up with fuel, and the operator will say, fine, pay me in special joint rights, pay me in SDRs. And for the first time, you're going to have a forward-deployed military that you have to finance in a currency that you don't print. And that was shocking to this very senior official. And then this individual said to me, you know, I hear you, it does sound like a national security threat, but the Treasury really doesn't like it when we talk about the dollar. In other words, that's the compartmentalization where the military and the intelligence are leaving the dollar to the Treasury, but they're the ones who are destroying the dollar.
James Rickards, thank you so much for the time, The Death of Money, the new book. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, that was a powerful interview by an insider. We'll be back with your phone calls, a ton of news, and more. I'm Alex Jones. Strap yourselves in. This is for real.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
By the way, you know, that last gift has worked for the CIA, you name it. And, you know, the fact that he was provisoing that, hey, I don't think 9/11 is an inside job. People that get inside those bubbles, and I'm not being patronizing, they tend to just not believe government could be involved because it's such a big deal. Criminal elements working in multiple governments. U.S. intelligence, British intelligence, Israeli intelligence, Pakistani intelligence, through the cover membrane or the fence of the Saudi Arabians, ran 9/11. They opened the door. They let the attack happen, bare minimum. And there was so much aiding and abetting to open the door and to block FBI investigations. I mean, it's just, it's literally thousands of points. It makes my head spin. I've made like four films on the subject. I'm not bragging. Who was the Western star that said no brag, just fact? It wasn't John Wayne. Look up no brag, just fact for me, guys. Thanks. I remember one time I was on air a few years after 9/11, and I was saying, you know, I'm the father of the 9/11 truth movement. And another smaller talk show host called me and said, you know, you sound like an arrogant person saying that on air. And I said, hey, I'm not saying it because I'm arrogant. I'm saying it because it's the truth. And I take a big risk doing that. And the establishment was calling me the progenitor of the 9/11 truth movement. You know, I said they're going to blow up the World Trade Centers and blame it on their CIA asset, Bin Laden, to invade all over the world and take our freedoms. Here's the RAND Corporation report with these other reports in a 2.5 hour emergency TV show and a 3 hour radio show. Those are all online from July 25th, 26th, 2001. And I went on air that day and the day after, and I said they're going to launch a bio attack on top of it, and they launched the anthrax attack. I just study this, and I know how they operate. And look at how our government runs Al-Qaeda today, and ISIS and the rest of it. The guns of Will Sonnet. No brag, just facts, said Walter Brennan, of Will Sonnet's prowess with a weapon. No brag, just fact. Where I come from, it's not good to tell people what you got in the hole, the ace in the hole. And I don't like, quite frankly, my cousin got something right the other day. He said, you know, Alex is really an introvert and nobody really knows that. And that's the truth. I'm an introvert, ladies and gentlemen. I don't like being famous. I don't like being hated by some people. I have to do this, okay? But I've gone so far down the line with all this that I see other perspectives, and I'm just here to try to convince the establishment not to commit suicide and take us with them. And so that's why I've gotten to the point where I may have said 15 years ago, yeah, let them send in UN troops. We'll just shoot them. Not anymore, because I don't want that civil war to happen. That's what they want. I'm 40 years old now. I've been doing this since I was 21 years old. Toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And the reason I tell people, you know, where the 9/11 truth came from, it came from the event itself, but I was there day one. Just like Time Magazine calls me the mad prophet of the Tea Party, because I am the mad prophet of the Tea Party from their perspective. Ron Paul's the founder of it, and I'm the prophet of it. If you want to call it that, someone raising the alarm. We need to be alarmed. We need to be upset. We need to be bombastic. We need to run around screaming, because that'll get people out of their coma. But I'm not putting an act on when I run around screaming. I'm concerned when I see our government running and funding Al-Qaeda and giving them more than 10,000, 12,000, 15,000. I've had colonels on saying it's 15,000 missiles. I don't know. It's over 10,000 missiles. The government acts like I've done something so they can power grab and run my life and make me a slave while the border's wide open and they create ISIS. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9031. I want to show folks, if you're watching on TV, some articles here. LAPD to no longer comply with feds on immigration hold request. Headline should be illegal aliens above the law, because they don't just release them for being illegal. They say, don't even call them illegal, just legalize them. Legalize anybody that can get here. Well, we'll be a billion people in a couple years if that happened. And they just say, we can't pay for it anymore. We won't even hold them to give them to ICE. Plus, ICE just lets them go. And so now they go on to say, you know, people that don't have too serious low-level crimes is the quote. And, of course, I know this like the back of my hand, folks. They released out of Texas alone in a four-year period, I remember reading this in the Houston Chronicle, 250,000 illegals and upwards of I forget the exact numbers, a large portion were aggravated felons. I mean, it was 36,000 a month ago released in 1 month. Remember that headline? 36,000 aggravated felons. We're talking arson, child rape. I mean, I've got stacks of news every day I don't even get to with headlines like this. Two-time illegal immigrant charged with rape in Philly sanctuary city. City cops won't work with feds unless Honduran immigrant convicted. Yeah, they're just going to deport him. It's like that railway killer who preyed on Hispanics. See, there's another underbelly to this. Hispanics who aren't citizens and don't know this, aren't Americanized, are preyed on by the criminals and the gangs, and they're the ones that lobby and manage the immigrant smuggling, the running, the lawyers, all of it. And that brings me to this next report. You don't just have the people in 800-plus sanctuary cities catch and release for DWI, hit and runs, rape, robbery, criminals worldwide coming here knowing it's the happy hunting ground. You have, let me show folks right here. This is in the Weekly Chronicle. It comes out every Thursday. They've written literal whole cloth articles about me probably 15 times telling outrageous lies where it's literally inverted truth. Okay? Fiction. And I was not sophisticated when this started 16, 17 years ago. Now I understand. They own and run South by Southwest. They're invested in the high-rise apartments. They've got this army of fake liberals that literally work for the Chronicle for free, not knowing they're working for a $50 million a year profit organization. But it's all like beatnik old menace of going, yo, daddy, yo, yo, black ops squads, okay? And the editor is obsessed with me and attacks me every month and listens to the show and admits it. And I never realized why, because they know I'm telling the truth. They know everything I knew before I knew it. They literally hate my guts. They've got an illegal alien on the front of it with a cut-up American flag smiling. And then you open it up. This is a microcosm. And it attacks the sheriff, the black sheriff, Greg Hamilton, the Texas Civil Rights Project, that's like the ADL or Southern Poverty Law Center, that he deports 13 people a week. Folks, Travis County has a jail that looks like the Death Star. I mean, they catch you doing anything. They're ordered to throw the book at you. And this is an article like he's a horrible, racist, bad guy because he deports aggravated felons. And then, I mean, how do I get these rights where I can drunk drive, I don't even want to rape people, but you can rape people, murder, and then if the sheriff tries to deport you, I've talked to the cops, you've all heard about it in the news. I've talked to Travis County prosecutors. They said, no, the judge will give an illegal alien a $5 fine, you'll be put into classes, everything else, you'll spend 5 years paying off your DWI. An illegal will be released on the spot. And you go to their website, the Texas Civil Rights Commission, with Jim Harrington and all the rest of these people, and they've got maps and everything. How to get in, how to take over, how to get the DREAM Act, right here. And it's all Ford Foundation funded with the Workers' Party and Cesar Chavez and all this stuff that sounds reasonable. Because Cesar Chavez was mad about pesticides and how people were being treated. Of course, Hispanics were being exploited. Any migrant or worker group is. Poor sharecroppers. I'm just sick of only hearing that minorities, who are really the majority in most areas of the country, are the only ones that ever got abused. Indentured servant share. But the thing is, they take that whole movement, name streets after it, and make the whole civil rights movement about being anti-white and being part of the Raza, and it's all a bunch of rich white lawyers. And they've got these in every city. And they get the city to build homeless housing, and it turns out it's for illegals. And they get money off this community. It's disgusting. It's Acorn, folks. It's Acorn. And this is the white liberals that run all this. They're not liberals at all. And it needs to be investigated and looked at. And it goes on all over the country. Programs and services. And then they have city art things with billboards that show a revolution of Raza taking over America and show the plan of Aslan. And you go to these immigration rallies and it's Mexican flags everywhere with guys wearing Plan of San Diego shirts. A plan to kill all white males 16 and older. I mean, it's like, imagine if the Klan had a plan to kill all blacks 16 and older. I mean, it's like, and the other will be re-educated. I mean, it's just like, what? You're like, man, you're talking about killing all the whites. Shut up, racist scumbag. Shut up, racist. Shut up, racist. I am sick of it. And they're trying to radicalize Hispanic people who are great people. I mean, and again, this will only increase white racism, which is the balkanization they want. We've got to create a culture, a Bill of Rights Constitution. We've got to create a culture where we identify on freedom, on Second Amendment, on property rights, on low taxes, on prosperity. Not this runaway train where you've got the illegals so upset and so anti-America that if you wear an American flag in Texas or California, the gangs, the illegal gangs, get so mad you have to take your shirt off. You have to turn it around inside out. See, they tell America to have no culture, and then it's overwritten by a Ford Foundation synthetic, weaponized Chicano nation system that does nothing. It's like, here, you're the ruling Chicanos now. Go sweep. Instead of building a system to build everything up, it's, oh, look, you vote for the Democrats. You can be gay now, while they take everybody's rights and the NSA spies on us. And the Republican leadership, you notice, isn't saying anything about any of this. Gee, Obama, you really screwed up on the border. Let's get amnesty passed. The same one George Bush had written. The Republican leadership wants this because the big corporations want you begging with 1,000 people from India and Mexico and Romania. And China, they want you lined up, whether you're a professional or whether you're an auto mechanic or whether you're a custodian or whatever you are, if you're a school teacher, they want you up against the corporate fake schools that are meant to destroy the education system, which I didn't understand until a few years ago, is they wreck the education system and then force you into the new corporate system. I mean, they know what they're doing, folks. And so I don't blame people who identify with race and all this stuff at a primitive level, because that's how humans are. But the point is it's all engineered. We're going to go to Tom, Leslie, Rob, Truth, Raider, Joe, and others. But this is a plan. They're going to destabilize the country, bring us into a third world, and the wealthy people will be a tiny group that live behind armored gates, and the rest of us are going to be out here running around poor. And America's conquered. That's it. With a bunch of paramilitary cops strutting around, with the illegals given driver's license to vote politically to totally dismantle the country. If we don't turn this around, folks, we'll be like Zimbabwe and Robert Mugabe. You can look at the culture, the TV shows, everything. It's all anti-white. And that's only because that's seen as the dominant culture, that if it can be overthrown, it can be overwritten with anything. And they're not overriding it with any real culture. They're just overriding it with a bunch of drug dealers and criminals and scum that own the Spanish-run media. It's self-financed by the big banks that launder the money. I mean, it is a criminal takeover. We're going to go to break, come back, go right to your calls, and a little bit of overdrive to get to all of them. You can see the lawlessness as it unfolds. And as they go, outrageous, you want a gun, you're in the Klan. Doesn't matter what reality shows. You don't want Obamacare? You claim there's death panels? You're a racist. Well, the death panel's on this subsection. Now the death panels are public. Like, well, of course we're going to kill grandma. We're liberals. You don't kill grandma, you're racist. Yeah. They want diminishing resources, so they're the only ones in control of them, so they can buy you cheap. God, I go to the third world. I can't even go to it anymore. Because there's so many beautiful third world places. And the people are just in hell. There's always up on a hill, a big armored compound with helicopters. And the rich guy and his family can come down and get anybody's daughter they want. Everybody's controlled by them. Doesn't matter if it's a fascist or a communist system. They have their system in place. There's always cops everywhere with machine guns. The sign of a broken, failed country. And all the signs are there for America. That's why it's more important than ever. This show has the truth. We know what's historically happening. We've proven it. I don't like the responsibility of being the tip of the spear. We are the tip of the spear. Spread the word about InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Spread the word about our Facebook, our Twitter, our YouTube. Become a PrisonPlanet.tv member. We have 5 months free. We're running it in the month of July. We usually only run that in December and January. You can get 5 months free off a year or do a monthly $5.95. It comes out to 1 cent a day per person because 11 people can use it simultaneously. It takes about a minute to sign up. I want to see people sign up at PrisonPlanet.tv. A lot of people have been doing it, but it needs to explode. It's been growing very fast. I want to see thousands of people a day, not thousands a week, going and joining PrisonPlanet.tv so I can hire even more reporters and have reporters all over the world, not just a small team that we can send out like we're sending to the border. In California this time where they're sending the SWAT teams and the riot police to attack American citizens that are protesting. And in Dallas, they're saying, you don't come out and protest, we're shipping illegals into Granbury. We're there to discourage you. Imagine how warped the Granbury police are. Grand Prairie. We say Granbury up in Dallas. Grand Prairie. Imagine. They're in the headline in CBS News. Police to be out with riot gear to discourage you. To say, you don't come out and demonstrate while we bring things down. You Texans have been uppity. These illegals are going to vote within a few years to take your guns. The armored vehicles and attack choppers are standing by. So you stay in your damn house while we take over. And the Texans will probably piss on themselves and grovel to the cops because they want to be slaves. This hour is brought to you by MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex. And if you don't have high quality, non-GMO, storable foods now, well, I think you're crazy because the prognosis goes from bad to worse. What's going to happen? MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex. Getting prepared while at the same time funding super hardcore, unapologetic, awake and alive, fighting back, freedom-based media. MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex to find all the specials and a lot of other preparedness items. Let's go to your phone calls. Tom in Maryland, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex. I wanted to mention, you were talking about 9/11 earlier, and I tuned in a little bit late, but I only called because I wanted to bring up a point about a lot of the other mainstream conservative shows, you might call neocon. I know a lot of folks who listen to these shows, including myself occasionally, that do not and never believed the official story on 9/11, and any time the topic comes up, the way so many of these hosts trash those who believe something.
Oh yeah, they don't have an intellectual discussion with you. They just say you're crazy and believe in Puff the Magic Dragon. And that's because bare minimum they stood down on 9/11, and unfortunately they basically ran it with Saudi Arabia. And the Democrats are involved as well.
And I always found it interesting that, I mean, I heard recently a comment from Michael Savage. He did not go into great detail, but he's one of the only voices I've ever heard. He did say he was looking at conspiracy theories. He didn't say which ones. He didn't say he was believing anything.
Yeah, well, Michael Savage is super smart, and he knows about false flags. He says Obama may stage one, and so he gets the big picture. He's the only other show that will actually cover everything. And and even if you disagree with him on a few percentage points or he disagrees with us, it doesn't matter. He cares about the future of the country. He doesn't just out of hand attack every talk show host out there. He attacks other talk show hosts because he disagrees with what they say, not because he's just going after them. And he does attack a lot of talk show hosts, actually. But I think it's pretty funny because the ones he attacks kind of deserve it. But the straits are so dire right now that even when Glenn Beck attacks me all the time and lies about me, just God bless him. That's all I can say. Thank you, Tom. Let's talk to Rob in Texas. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I am new to Texas, and I got to say I'm a little unimpressed at the lack of patriotism in the state.
Well, they say in Grand Prairie, you know, don't come out and protest the illegals. We got riot police. The illegals are God. And they're calling the riot police into California. You don't do any. These people in Texas now know how to do one thing, and that's suck government boots. And they're going to have everything they have taken from them because they want to be hurt. So, no, I mean, I'm ashamed of Texas in many ways. But compared to other states, we're doing, you know, better. But we're a smaller pile of dog crap.
I'm from Chicago, okay? I lived there my whole life in the Midwest. And I have a firearm identification card that they gave me, no questions asked, through the mail from the state police. Everybody I talk to in the South says, why do you need a card to buy a gun? So being out here for the last 2 years, they have totally, and when I say they, the infection on the planet, the devil's disease, they have completely got themselves into every single little corner, from property managers all the way up to, you know, the chief of police or whatever. I don't know where the highest chain of command is. But it's just disgusting.
No, I hear you. Listen, let me explain what's happening in Texas. I love Texas, and I dearly love it. When it's a great state and great people. I was being sarcastic. I want Texas to be ashamed. We've been colonized by bureaucrats, and it isn't really Texas anymore. I mean, my gosh, the police aren't allowed to arrest felony illegals now.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Look, I've been all over this country. Not like Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere, man. But I've been a lot of places. Different areas have different street smarts. There's a lot of street smarts in Illinois you won't find in Texas. A lot of street smarts in Texas you won't find in, say, New York. It all varies, but people are people in the final equation here in this country. But folks need to learn to mind their own business and not work with the system as much as you can. Because the system wants compliant people who will go along with it, unless you're an illegal who's above the law, but only for a time to break down the country. I mean, it's just, there's a discriminatory fact that the illegals are above the law and that citizens are treated like crud because we put up with it. Stop complying like an illegal alien. You will become God. Let's go ahead and talk to Leslie in Illinois. Leslie, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I would just like to say that my parents lived in Europe during World War II. My father was a prisoner of Auschwitz and Buchenwald. And when they came to these states, they were very appreciative of the United States, and they were told they had different political opinions, keep it to yourself, and you know, we have it very good here, and that's where people just don't understand.
Well, we had it good, and now a bunch of globalists have run up a credit card in our names, and they think a bunch of checkpoints with cops bugging their eyes out at us is going to make us shut up. That's not going to stop the total implosion. We have to come together and say no. The police state is just a signpost on where they're taking us. People are like, I don't care if there's a police state. What have I done? You've done nothing. The elite want to steal everything. And so when they do, when they set up a police state, look out. That's what I'm getting at. What is it they're planning to do that they're gearing up with all this? Well, we know. It's impoverish us and take everything. Anything else, Leslie?
Well, my mother's just been warning me for about 10 years. She says, pay attention. You think that these things that they're doing are no big deal, but they are. And once it's here, it's hard to get rid of. And I knew what she meant was communism. So she saw the signs already years ago.
Man, if you study communism and how it worked in the Soviet Union, it's a spitting image to what the Democrats are doing and what the Republicans, you know, play politics with. It's just, it's unbelievable. And a lot of it's because they're lawyers. And they're so used to compromising and, oh, it's disgusting. Oh, my God, it's horrible. I appreciate your call. And a lot of the people in Congress are just trying to make as much money as they can to get out of the country. They've run the white flag up, folks. Truth Raider from Oregon, then Laura and Joe. I may only have time for one more, but go ahead, Truth Raider.
Hey, compadre. Viva la raza humana.
That's right. Up with Hispanics, down with everyone else. For those in the race, everything. Those outside, nothing. I think MSNBC is a good racist slogan.
Indeed. Hey, what happened to Cobra Commander? When did you execute him? I haven't heard him recently.
Well, I can do a spinning image of the 1980s, 90s cartoon, Cobra Commander, which is also this voice of Starscream from the original cartoon. Would you like to hear it?
Cobra! No, Megatron, I am the leader!
Oh, your evilness.
Oh, we've now... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let's get to the serious point here before we run out of time. Next door, we've got a whole family. The couple of the people there and their friends work at McDonald's. They flip hamburgers, and they drive Mercedes-Benzes, and they drive Beamers and Cadillac Escalades and Lincoln Aviators. What is going on?
They all work jobs as the cover. This is on record. And then they all have four or five other identities pulling welfare. Or they're helping shelter people that come in as part of the Coyote Network. It's a whole industry with these lawyers and all of this, and then we let it happen, so now it's a full overthrow colonization until the country collapses. I mean, sir, in Austin, they had $80-something million sent to one illegal alien house in tax returns. I mean, what do you think's going on? It's the Democratic Party's acorn. That's what this is. It's acorn squared on PCP.